Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
And be the man.
You gotta be the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God!
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our numbers are always 267-297-1397. You can also join us via the Skype network. Type in the word Sir Rockin' and you'll be on with us. In hours 2 and 3, we will go over everything there is to know about WrestleMania 27. Spug from Wrestle Talk Radio and Tucker Talk Live is joining us as we open the show with the last of our WrestleMania Memories interviews. This has been a great series, and what better way to end it with the man who rules the world, who was a part of WrestleMania 8 and was a part of WrestleMania 13, and is going to be part of a brand new film that is actually hitting DVD stores today, and you can buy it online through Green Apple Entertainment. The film is called River of Darkness. Sid Vicious is on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, sir.
Thank you guys for having me tonight.
I want to start out real fast with this. This film is definitely different than a lot of horror films that are out there. This almost feels like an old-fashioned ghost story where you're one of these Jacob boys, which are actually three people. The press release lists too. When you first read the script, did it come across that way to you? Did it come across as an old-fashioned Southern-style ghost story?
Yeah, it did. It really did.
Yeah. What made you say yes to the project?
Well, the thing was, I talked to the guys at Green Apple Entertainment, that's Bruce and his brother Brian, about a year or so before they were about to make it. They let me know what was going on. And, anytime you get to do something like that, the guy that, I bring this guy's name up every time I do these interviews, the guy Bill, what's his name, that was one of the original zombies in the Night of the Living Dead,
Bill Hinsman.
Bill Hinsman?
Yeah, I believe that's his name.
What's his last name? I'm sorry.
I think it's pronounced Hinsman. H-I-N-Z-M-A-N. I was surprised when I saw him in the notes. I was going, wow, one of the guys from Night of the Living Dead. That's cool.
Well, he was the original zombie. Like in the credits, when you look at him, he was the first zombie to be seen, I compare that, guys. I'm a horror person. I like comedies, but I really love horror stuff. And working with Bill Hinsman, it's like with baseball, if you were able to play back in the day with Babe Ruth. Now, for me to be in a horror person, this is a little corny sounding, but to be in the movie with him and to be actually a monster who gets to kill this guy, that's maybe the biggest one thing that I can remember of all the horror movies I've done.
Now, when you sat there and they handed you the script and you said, I'm all in, and they said, we're going to get Kevin Nash to to play the other one, to play the other Jacob's boy. You guys are going through the death scenes. I mean, those are pretty gruesome scenes. I mean,
yeah.
you don't, it was refreshing. I mean, there are some movies that are just violence for the sake of violence and gore, but the deliberate portrayal of just a massacre in this movie actually helped further the plot line. Was that something that you were in favor of, or would you have preferred a little more subtlety?
You know, guys, I'll be honest with you, when you read scripts or look at things, stuff like that, you don't know how it's all going to come across. It all has to do with casting, you know, the extras, the of course, in our case, the makeup, just everything. To make something like that, all what you're talking about, come around to total, I think, perfection. You know, you had myself, Kevin Nash, Kurt Angle, Bill Heisman, and the third zombie was, I can't remember the guy's name, but supposedly he was one of the Mothman prophecy people. You know,
oh, wow.
That's supposed to be a big thing. Unfortunately, I don't have enough time to see things like that. I don't know who he is, but it was nice meeting him, you know. I've been busy this year doing other movies. I did another one with Kurt. Then I did last year or so, I've been doing my own film, a documentary called The Promotion. Was first originally named F is for Fun. And, and it's going to open up on April the 21st up in Maine.
Yeah, I just pulled up on Internet Movie Database the other film that the same director, Bruce Poehler, is doing. It's called Death from Above. And of all people, Tom Savini is in that. The horror movie fans know who Tom Savini is. He's in Industrial Dawn. He's done special effects makeup for decades.
Right.
How long is it when you're sitting there in a chair? What was like the average call time on a set for you, Kevin, to get into all that getup? And what do you do while you're sitting there?
The first night we did it, it was hours getting the stuff on. And, man, it seemed like we were there all night long. We didn't get into 3, 4 in the morning and right back the next night. All night. It was just 2 days of constant going. And that's the good thing, the upside to doing independent films, guys, is that it didn't take but 2 days for us to do that and 2 days for the other one, me and Kirk, to do. And I hate saying it, but, you know, big budget films, it becomes boring because it's 1,000 takes doing the same stupid thing. Of course, you get a little bit better production. I don't see how, but independent films, we better to save a little money. We cut back on the cost on the cuts and stuff like that, and it makes it a little more fun. Makes everything roll faster and have, you know, it keeps, you know, they got to keep their costs down too.
Now, sorry, Alan, you broke up a second.
You're fine. Go right ahead.
Now, you said you were a horror movie fan.
Mm-hmm.
When you were doing research for the role of the Jacobs boys, what horror movies did you pull from?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, did you pull any from your persona of Psycho Sid in wrestling?
No, I'll be honest with you guys. This might sound a little like being a dickhead, but I never read the script. I just showed up and did what they asked me to do. They've already told me what was going on. You know, I'm just, when you're doing so many things in a day, you just don't have, you know, that's the thing is, when you're just a part of it, that's what's fun for, let Bruce and them do all the headaches being the directors and stuff. You know, you just come in and do your two little parts and then let them put it all together. Now, doing my own films, it's a little more intricate. You got to do everything, have to do all the editing and stuff like that. Thing is, I didn't want to do all that. So that's the thing is right there.
Sid, just joining in here, online, all the wrestling radio. The number is 267-297-1397 if you want to talk with Sid. Is this something you want to do from here on out? That you want? Are you actively pursuing big-time Hollywood films, or is the indie level of films good enough for you right now?
Well, I'm going to take whatever comes my way. I like the indie films. I've done, you know, a couple big budget films like Get Ready to Rumble. You know, it took us 6 weeks for us to stand around all day long doing those things. I just don't, I've turned down a couple big budget things this year because it just didn't have, there's too much time standing around for me, you know.
You hear that a lot. I've read interviews with The Rock where he said there's a lot of standing around. I wanted to ask, I didn't get to ask at the open, but a couple of weeks ago we were scheduled to have you on and you had a touch of the flu. Are you feeling better?
I'm going to tell you, dude, I'm still sick as a dog.
Oh, man.
I've got an intestinal virus that has got me beat down right now.
Oh, I hope you feel better, man. I really do.
We're really honored that you're taking time to be with us.
Well, I just got back from my great aunt's funeral this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's been a tough couple of days.
I'm sure. Well,
hopefully we can light it up for you.
Yeah. How much did you know Kurt Angle when you signed on to this film? Have you met him before?
I had met him when he had come through, you know, when he first started getting into business. You know, he, you know, Memphis had a developmental territory at the time. It went Remember, it went from Lawler's hands to Terry Golden's hands. Then it went to up to Louisville to Danny Davis' hands. You know, it went like that. And I met Kirk when he was coming through Memphis, and that's what I told people earlier today in interviews, that I know for a fact Kirk worked his butt off. He worked the Memphis territory. He worked the Louisville territory. He was working the WWE territory. He earned his way in this business, guys, and that's what I really respect about Kurt Angle.
Yeah, for fans that aren't aware of it, and I know I'm going to age myself here by knowing this, but you started in the Memphis territory, if I remember right. You were Lord Humongous? Was that your original name?
That was it.
Yeah, what was that like to be told, all right, you're going to wrestle and you're going to wear this hockey mask
right
for the entire match? Does that like totally restrict your view when you're brand new to the business, or are you able to adjust as you went along?
Well, no, I'll tell you, okay, guys, it was so funny. What it was, and I'm not 100% sure, I know I was a fill-in. Somebody, and I don't remember who it was, didn't come in. And I heard it was Terry Funk one time. I don't know who it was. So Lawler called me. I was in Tojo Yamamoto's wrestling school. He saw me one day, got my number. He called me one day. I went over his house. He gave me the Lord Humongous costume, the original one. Then I had one made myself that was much better. But I'll never forget, I was Austin Idol's partner, main event against Lawler and Nick Bockwinkle. And that was my very first match.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was remembered walking out with Austin Idol at night. He said, come on, man, flex. And I was so nervous I couldn't get my muscles to flex. You know, but when you get out there with Lawler and Nick Bockwinkle, you know, first of them, they don't tell you anything. You got to just know it all when you get out there. And that was nerve-wracking as hell, you know. But that was one of the best learning experiences I ever had.
Yeah, because that territory was rich, because you had Austin Idol, you had Bill Dundee around at that point, Dutch Mantel was in and out of there.
You had Randy Savage, you had Harley Davidson, which is Hillbilly Jim. All those guys were in there when I first came in. You know, you had Nick Bockwinkle coming in, you had, of course, Bill Dundee, Jerry Lawler, and it just keeps going on and on. You know, from the time I was there, I've met everyone in the world there.
Now, you have been in the ring with quite a few legends in the business.
Right.
And you have been part of some legendary moments. And we've been talking a lot about WrestleMania as it's, you know, coming up this Sunday. And you, unfortunately, are a number in the 18-0 for The Undertaker. What was it like to work with him in that atmosphere and at Mania, which you'd been a part of before at WrestleMania 8 and WrestleMania 11, I believe, or ringside with Shawn Michaels?
Right.
What was it like to be part of that atmosphere, you know, at WrestleMania 13 in Chicago, WWF champion going up against The Undertaker, you know, who at that point was undefeated at Mania?
Mm-hmm. Thing was, guys, it wasn't to me that big of a deal. You know, it was at the Horizon Center. It was only like 12,000 people. You know, when you're when you think of WrestleMania, you want to think, you know, 50,000 people and above. So that took a little bit of the zest of it for me. You know, when you get to WrestleMania, you want that big house, and it just wasn't there for that one particular WrestleMania.
There are many people that say that that WrestleMania felt very awkward, because before that, if I remember right, and it's not talked about by a lot of people, but that original main event was supposed to be a rematch of Shawn and Bret, and Shawn claimed knee injury, and then Bret came out during your whole thing. And one of the best memories I have of you is Bret does his whole deal, and you turn around and look at him on the ramp, why don't you hop along there, crybaby?
Right.
I was laughing my ass off going, that's a man I don't want to go off.
Well, that's the thing is, guys, when you get into all that confusion like that and everybody's fucking crying and whining, it wasn't that big of a, wasn't any fun that night for me. You know, I had worked my ass off at the, you know, from SummerSlam to the Alamo Dome, putting Shawn over. You know, you could go back and look at things. I really worked my tail off trying to get the business back on track. And then it just seemed like it was all taken away from me.
Yeah. I want to backtrack a second to Spug brought up WrestleMania 8. Going into that, you had another one of those things that fans will always remember. And that was the night that you, as Psycho Sid, trashed the living daylights out of the barbershop. When you're going on to something like that, or Piper's Pit, or any other segment, how much of that is improv and how much is creative saying to you, okay, you need to hit A, B, and C while you're out there?
Well, what I always do, guys, is that I've always look at when, you know, for me, myself, I've always been, say, limited about 3 minutes, and this has always been about average for me, 3 minutes of TV time, especially in those little squash matches. So I knew how to, in 3 minutes, get myself over. And it was really just go out there and trash the barbershop. That was the end of the barbershop, you know, everything like that. Now, the deal is when I smashed the deal and the stuff went off of my face, that was totally improv. You know, actually, I thought it messed things up and it actually made things better. You know, so, no, I don't, you look at the thing, we looked at it during the day, I looked at everything, thought what I'd smash on it. You know, I'm thinking about when I walk through, I'm going to see where the cameras are, I'm going to catch the cameras and talk to all the cameras, things like that. That's what you want to do.
Which do you prefer more in your career, being in WWE or your time in WCW? One of our chat room listeners wanted to know, and why.
Well, it was two different things, guys. In WCW, it was just about it was a family business, more or less. And in WWF, it was a straight business. You know, the business, you know, to me, I love it. You know, I like both sides equally. The WWF, it was you know, the pressure was put on you to produce, and if you could, you got, you know, taken care, you know, it was it made it fun, and you had to get over and get over quick. If you didn't, you didn't stay here very long. So that was a you know, good for me. Now in WCW, it was more laid back atmosphere. All I had to do is work hard and you know just do what you're told.
You took part in a legendary promotion of its own right in ECW, wrestling John Cronus and Steve Corino, and tagged with Spike Dudley against the Dudleys. Working with Paul Heyman and guys like that in Philly, was that a fun time for you? Was that, we've heard all kinds of stories about how that locker room was one of the best in wrestling, and Paul was really accessible and easily easy to talk to. Did you have that type of experience? Did you enjoy your time in ECW?
Yes, I did. You know, thing was there. It was a little short. Thank God. But no, thing is, there is now. It's easy to go in there and do that. You know, I was just trying to do what I was being asked to do. They limited me there a little bit. They didn't give me the mic to do any talking. You know, the thing about ECW was it was a fun deal. You know, you really got to open up and you didn't have to be handcuffed so much. You know, there were so many restraints taken off of you. on the other side of it, sometimes it's fun to have restraints on it because then you have to be a harder, work a little harder. But, now I had a great time there. The locker room was a great locker room. It's just, with ECW guys, ECW was, Paul and him would rather have the crowd scream ECW than say, Spike Dudley or the Dudleys. They want to go ECW. So that's where they made their mistake, guys, in my opinion, is that not letting, not opening up the doors and getting the bigger, just doing more things.
We take phone calls on the show. We have someone online, your name, where you're calling from, and ask your question to Sid Vicious.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. This is Shane from Des Moines. I got a question for Sid.
Go right ahead.
Sid, I want to say it's an honor to talk to you. A couple things. First thing, I remember back when you took the belt from Shawn Michaels and knocked out Jose Lothario, and he was on his baby face, on that run. Sorry, I'm walking down the stairs right now. I just want to say that was a big moment for us because we were sick of Shawn Michaels at the time. He's a great wrestler, but that was huge for us. We had a quick question, though, me and my buddies, and we followed you back, during the WWF years. But in Des Moines, I think it was about 95, you wrestled Kevin Nash, Diesel, as a champion. I swear to God, I set my beer down, held my head up, and he put the boot to you and pinned you in like 2 seconds. Was that an issue of they ran out of time? It was in Des Moines, Iowa. Did they run out of time, or what was the deal with that match? Because this is an in-depth question, but that's something that's always been sitting on our minds. So,
well, guys, I don't know. I don't remember Des Moines, Iowa. I know, let's say, for instance, Kevin had a couple existing injuries that only limited him to do certain things sometimes. That could have been one of those days. I don't remember what it was. I know that we did that sometimes because, in WWE, guys, and WWF, that's the deal. The Hill's going to lose every night, and it's not good for business, but they do that, And so if that's what the outcome is and you don't want to, kill the people by drawing shit out, sometimes that's the better, easier thing to do.
Hey, I just want to say you're a master of the power bomb and you're a legend, Sid. Thank you.
Thank you, dude.
Thanks, Shane. Thanks for calling up. Once again, the film is called River of Darkness. It is from Green Apple Entertainment and is available in stores and online today through Green Apple Entertainment, if you want to Google search them or not. I want to find out truth or rumor on this, that you have a son who actually wrestled for a while as Lord Humongous. Is this true?
No, guys, what happened is that I did a documentary called F is for Fun. It's about wrestling without any cussing in it. It's a little territory in Osceola, Arkansas, run by Lathan LaFonce, who owns a funeral home, which is weird. But they have wrestling there every Friday night. There is no cussing. There's no cussing in your music and stuff like that. And I said earlier, sometimes restraints are fun to have because then you can you have to work a little harder. And I like restraint sometimes, and so when I saw the movie The Wrestler, guys from the being hot shows up in the Northeast like that, that is so close to realization. I thought, okay, this looks like a documentary to me, and I thought to myself right then, I said, when I watched it, I said, I want to do something to show the people that there's just something else going on in business besides just that kind of stuff, all the stuff we've seen in that movie, okay? My documentary is totally different. I got star power. I got Scott Hall in it. And the reason I used my son is Lord Humongous. He was just 15 at the time. And it took me 10 months to make that documentary. And I had Scott up here for 4 or 5 months, and he went home. I had me and Gunner, that's his name, my son's name, he helped me with that. And the reason I used him was two reasons. Now, it's not in my documentary that I did called, excuse me, I'm changing the title right now, called The Promotion. I have to, you have to get people that you can trust to do these things. And I wanted everybody to see Lord Humongous against myself. People who saw that would say, hey, Sid was Lord Humongous one time. And then I've got copies of me and him both for Lord Humongous and tag teams and against each other and stuff like that. And, but it didn't come out of my documentary like that. I got 10 months of film and I only got 15 minutes of, footage. Now I could have easily changed that, but when you're doing it, you've got to stick with what you're thinking. And I think I got a good product with what I got right now. Now I've got 55 CDs in there that I can go through and I can pick out another one. But right now but that's the main reason he was in that, is that that way I had someone I could trust. And when you see my documentary, what we try to do is we try to explain what the difference is between a bad guy and a good guy, babyface or heel. And we talk to the wrestling fan, we talk to the wrestlers, and we do a backstage thing. Then we show action. It's just a whole variety of different things. It's just a lot of things in film, guys, that you can do. And I did everything that you could possibly do in 15 minutes of a documentary. The reason I went 15 minutes is because in a short, in film festivals, you get a lot more chances to be seen. For instance, my film is going to be starting April 21st up in Maine in a theater with a guy out there and another wrestler, an older gentleman. I can't remember his name right now. I just found out about yesterday. He's it's called On the Canvas or something. They'll send me a tape today or tomorrow of it. So, again, Gunner was in the thing just for that, to have that way I had someone I could trust. I'd have Lord Humongous there. I did Lord Humongous. He did Lord Humongous. But, of course, it all didn't come out on film.
It's getting, we know your time is getting short with us, and we thank you for it with all that you've been through. We hope we put a smile on your face a little bit. We ask this question to everybody, and it's your choice if you want to answer it or not. But what is the best rib that you have ever seen pulled, had pulled on you, or pulled on someone on your time on the road?
Let me stop you. So who's stupid enough to pull a rib on a guy who's 6'9", who could pick me up and use me as a softball bat?
Well, I'll be honest with you guys, I never got ribbed.
no kidding.
I didn't, because I didn't rib people. You know, if you did rib me, you better be ready to go all the way. So I never got ribbed. I don't know the funniest ribs. I don't even know if any of them are funny, but you had all your typical ones like the nasty boys shitting in the floor, just weird stuff like that. You know, you've seen people getting shit in their bags all the time. I saw that all the time. You know, those are, I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
No, those are just kind of disgust. We had one. Steve Carino told this story about him and C.W. Anderson went to a bar in Japan, and there was a dominatrix there who looked like Samoa Joe in drag.
Right.
Yeah, we've heard some interesting ones.
As far as, like, you know, the good ribs, guys, are ribs that take a couple of days to get through, to make, you know. Now, if you're going to rib somebody, you don't rib them overnight. You take a couple of days to do it. I can't remember one right now off the top of my head, but those are always your best ribs when it takes a little while to get someone.
Right. We heard people like Owen Hart and Mr. Fuji back in the day.
Okay,
the ones
now,
that if they got you, it was an honor to be gotten by them.
Now, there you go right there. Those guys did good ribs. You know, Owen was one of the greatest guys in the world. Mr. Fuji, one of the greatest guys in the world. They did innocent ribs, you know, that you just, you know, you didn't mind happening to you.
All right.
You did not rib Owen, though, guys. If you ribbed Owen, it lasted the rest of your life.
I'm sure. Owen
was a quiet assassin. He was unassuming and just quiet and so polite and stuff like that. You never saw that coming.
Yeah, because we've heard all the good stories about him, but then we heard from the early, before you were in WWF, of people like the British Bulldogs do just ridiculous, mean, and horrible stuff to people. It's interesting to hear how lighthearted people like Fuji and Owen and Kurt Hennig were. We heard Wildcat Chris Harris told a story of Kurt Hennig drinking fans, and the fans were wondering how the heck he's out and drinking them. And of course he's out drinking them. He's drinking iced tea the whole time.
Right.
The film, once again, is called River of Darkness with Sid Vicious, with Kevin Nash, and with current TNA wrestling superstar Kurt Angle. It is available on DVD from Green Apple Entertainment. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule from us, and we hope you finally kick the butt of that flu.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. Coming up after the break, we will talk about the final roster for the WWE Hall of Fame, and we will talk all our own WrestleMania memories. From 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, it will be Graham Coffin of the History of WWE.com, Phil Strum of the Poughkeepsie Journal, Scott Fishman of Miami Herald. At 11 o'clock, Jamal himself, Kevin Scott, will join us. And if their children allow them, Sarah and Ari Dygan will join us. We're going to take everybody's WrestleMania predictions. Even Jersey Girl, and she's going to Mania. And she may drop in during the 11 o'clock hour and give her predictions. All in World of Wrestling, we'll be back, and hopefully my computer won't be sucking so bad.
The night where boyhood dreams come true.
Wait a minute! Michael said he got it! He got all of it! Michael's got all of it! Michael's gonna cover! 5, 4, 3!
The boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels!
The night where new eras are born.
Michael's going for another chip! Awesome! He got it! Let's go!
Torches are passed.
He's holding it up, that's what he is. The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's laughing at the ball. I don't believe it. Oh, don't be the big leg. Over for the cover. He got it. Unbelievable.
What will happen this year at WrestleMania? Find out the night before the granddaddy of them all on WrestleTalk Radio on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hello, Rock. We haven't been properly introduced. I'm The Miz, the WWE Champion and star of WrestleMania. You, on the other hand, are only the host of WrestleMania. So you should know your role and be the best Ryan Seacrest that you can be.
Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday. Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Pony, the greatest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site that throws you. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fear Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to make some order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Honey vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Vegetable so, fried
no
rice.
No meat. And do you... Egg is okay? No egg.
Egg. Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yes.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow pea.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want
chicken fried rice? No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio. That really move
him. I said chill. Hi there. I'm on my way, I'm making it. I've got to make it.
Thank you to Psycho Sid Vicious for being with us here on Online World Wrestling Radio. That would be the best way possible to end WrestleMania memories. And if you haven't been with us before, we've had Jerry the King Lawler here, we've had Warrior Animal, we've had Lanny Poffo, going all the way back to Brutus Beefcake, George Animal Steel has been here. It's been a blast, and nothing capped it better than turning on my Raw last night and seeing that Hawk, Animal, and Precious Paul Ellering are all going into the WWE Hall of Fame. And if you watch the Hall of Fame ceremony this Monday night in condensed version, you're supposedly going to see Sonny, Shawn Michaels, and the Road Warriors. And I am ecstatic and happy to see something like that happen. But we're not getting like Ron's Lex Luger or someone secondhand that shouldn't have gotten in this class.
I would have liked to have seen Arn Anderson or the Four Horsemen.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people would have, but no.
It's in, here's the thing. It's in Atlanta. It's 10 years after the death of WCW. There were individuals on that roster who had a cup of tea in WWE or are now working for the company backstage who deserve their due. Who deserve, you know, their moment in the sun. And I could name five right now.
Go for
him. Arn Anderson. Ole Anderson.
That's an iffy one.
As a tag team, the Andersons, yeah.
Then you got to put Gene in there, too, because Ole and Gene were the original men of the Wrecking Crew.
And then you've got Chris Jericho. You've got J.J. Dillon, and quite frankly, Ted Turner.
That's another iffy one. It's another real iffy one.
And
always hard because politics.
And by the way, there were those two guys. Oh, what were their names? Oh, the Crockett's.
Oh, that's an even more fun one. But hey, Kanye's got in. Why not? So wait, you put Big Jim and the kids in as well? Or did you just put Big Jim Crockett in since he was the original founder of Jim Crockett Promotions?
I think you put them all in.
But it's a tricky subject because I wish we could get on paper somehow, some way, either from WWE Creative or the WWE offices, you know, what criteria they're actually using for this Hall of Fame stuff.
There isn't any.
Yeah, but Drew Carey is in. Drew Carey, that's right. The guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway is a funny show that he did based in Cleveland, Cleveland Rocks, all that fun stuff, and now hosts The Price Is Right, is in your Hall of Fame. Oh, I have no problem with Abdul the Butcher. The guy murdered people on every continent except Antarctica. He may have wrestled in Antarctica for all I know. He may have taken out a couple polar bears or some walruses down there. You know, Shawn Michaels' record speaks for itself. Bob Armstrong was the mainstay in the 60s, 70s, and 80s in Southern wrestling, so I don't have a problem with him. Some folks have an issue with Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I don't have an issue with Duggan. I don't have an issue with Bob Armstrong. I certainly don't have an issue with the Road Warriors or Shawn Michaels. But you have a host of people. Not just those that worked at WCW or the staples that we name every year that should go in that don't. But you have a host of people that could be. That should be in the Hall of Fame and aren't, and you have devalued the name Hall of Fame by putting in somebody like Drew Carey. Pete Rose, I can understand, because Pete Rose was an FU to the Baseball Hall of Fame. You know, Pete Rose, I can understand. Pete Rose was a funny induction. Like, I get it. That was tongue-in-cheek, you know.
Well, so it's William Refrigerator Perry.
Yeah, I get it. Like, Perry and Rose, I get it. But why are you putting in Drew Carey? Because he's a fan and he appeared at the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a cross-promotion, some sort of thing he's doing. I thought in the bumper they created for him, I thought they said something about a new comedy thing that he's doing. Let me transition to something that is not funny, and that is Michael Cole. Michael Cole now has the Twitter. Smug is available at tap out to KO. I'm available at my name is Logic, as much as I hate the damn thing. Michael Cole got himself into the biggest pile of hot water you could ever possibly imagine when he used a homophobic slur in his recent account when he called Josh Matthews a word that I won't use because my 8-year-old is in front of me having her planner sign for school. But let's put it this way, it starts with the letter F, and you don't want it called to you if you are of the gay or lesbian persuasion.
A pile of sticks.
Yeah, now he apparently did this in response to Josh Matthews writing, Chicago, the host city of Monday Night Raw. The one word, which was faggot, was deleted approximately a half hour later, and an apology was immediately issued by Michael Cole, came out of character and said, quote, I apologize to any and all who were offended by my tweet towards young Josh Matthews. It was obviously not meant the way it was taken. Here's where it gets fun, kids, because the WWE recently came under fire from GLAAD, which is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, which took issue to the homophobic taunts John Cena directed towards The Rock on the February 28th episode of Monday Night Raw. They felt that Cena's unsavory verbiage prompted WWE to issue an apology and form a partnership with GLAAD to counteract anti-bullying. The actual release from WWE says, WWE takes this issue very seriously and has already spoken with our talent about these incidents. We are taking steps and working with GLAAD to ensure that our fans know WWE is against bullying or discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. We strongly value our fans in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community and apologize to them for these incidents. Want to say, I guess you guys weren't around during the Attitude Era because, oh my God, you couldn't go 5 seconds without Shawn Michaels, Triple H, the Nation of Domination, the Bariquas, or anybody using defamational words. So I guess in the PG world, we have to play nice with every political group that's out there.
Yeah, but here's where it takes a funny turn. And this is what makes me laugh. GLAAD wants to get involved and they want to put Cole through their sensitivity training. Well,
not just him, they want to do the whole company.
Well, but there is a point where you become overly sensitive. And isn't the whole point of the anti-defamation whatever and groups like this to make it so these words don't mean anything and aren't hurtful?
Pretty much.
So don't make a big fuss about it.
And instead they obviously did.
And they did.
Yeah, now it's everywhere.
If you don't make a big fuss about it, it goes away. Shocking. Shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, speaking of another hot button issue, go ahead and then I'm going to get to the next hot button issue, which jumped off today in the news wires.
You know, if you don't make a big deal about it, kids today, it's funny how words transform, right? There are several words in the English language that at one point meant things totally benign and then became racial slurs and epithets. And now they're becoming benign again. And kids today don't understand what the big deal is about. It's just a word.
Right.
And yet we have all these groups going, no, you don't understand what it means. Apparently these groups don't know what it means because it meant something entirely different 30 years ago.
Mm. Yes. Before we turn this into OWW Politico tonight, let's make it even more fun. In a very, very surprising move to both myself, Sir Rock, and our executive producer, and the Spug, and probably to everyone listening to us now on Wild Talk Radio, World Wrestling Entertainment has released well-liked producer and former WWE superstar Dave Fit Finlay. The incident that apparently led to Finlay's departure happened during a weekend event in Champaign, Illinois, where current WWE World Champion The Miz interrupted the United States National Anthem at the beginning of the show to cut a promo. Members of the U.S. National Guard were present at the live event and were not happy at all with this situation. case you haven't noticed watching WWE DVDs, guys, National Guard is one of the major sponsors of World Wrestling Federation, and it's a big no-no to slap a hand that's giving you millions of dollars, especially when it's the guys with the big guns. Since Dave Finley was in charge of the show, apparently he is the one who has to bite the bullet. He has been in and out of World Wrestling Entertainment since 2001 and was more than less, he was the producer for the Divas on Raw and SmackDown. So this is a tough one, and actually someone in our room, our chat room, Kentucky Kev, wants to know, do we think he should have been fired? I'm going to give it a spug for a second because I honestly am still a little stunned by this, so I need a minute to formulate my answer.
If you're going to fire him, then fire him for something that he has control over. Obviously, nothing, we heard it from Dave Lagana. Nothing happens in that company without going by Vince first. Right?
Pretty much everything is covered from the big kahuna on down. But I don't think Vince or Stephanie are at house shows. I think it's normally like, I think it is that they're the producers like Malenko, Arn Anderson, Mike Rotunda, whoever it is, they're the ones that are actually in charge. But no, McMahon is usually at a house show. But from what I know, they do have some sort of logbook that they have to record everything that happens in there. So I'm sure somebody between Saturday or Sunday, whatever this live event was in Champaign, had to say something to Vince.
Right. I mean, Vince had to know. Vince had to find out and know what was going on. So to think that he didn't is absolutely asinine.
Yeah, our chat room is blown up with this. One person says, does anybody remember Dino Bravo? Yeah, I remember Dino Bravo and Frenchie Martin. As our chat room says, they used to announce the U.S. any chance they got. Tony O is saying he would rehire Vince under the presidency, that he would have been 100% rehired once the situation cools off. Kentucky Kim wants to know if Vince might hire him back later. I got to agree with Kentucky Kim. I think it is a PR move. Because in the PG era that you're in now, where you've got Mattel as sponsors and you've got Kmart, if you watched Monday Night Raw last night, you saw Randy Orton sitting on a table, and you know, it's just like, wow, hey, Randy Orton sitting on a kitchen table selling stuff far out. But I mean, I don't know if WWE can sue him for that, because it may be in his contract jersey that he can only do certain things at a live event. I'm not really sure, because I've never been backstage at a WWE live event. I've been backstage at some TNA events where I've seen what the TNA producers can do. So I don't know if there's anything in an actual road agent slash producer contract that can say, well, you know, this, that, the other thing. Because, I mean, I remember friends being at, I think it was in Nassau Coliseum. Rhino and Tajiri were in the ring in a match, and Vince just wasn't liking the match because it was up in the Northeast. Vince was happening to be there. Vince came to the ring and literally shut the match down and crapped on both guys and then said, oh, I'm here to see some Divas. And then they had the scheduled Diva bikini thing. So this kind of thing happened in a live show. Phil Strom's telling me he was at that show. We'll talk with Phil about that when we come after the break. Oh, wow, that's funny. Kevin was there, too. Kevin Scott was there, too. Oh, my God. I want to say it's a PR move. I think it's a snap reaction because he happened to be the closest to the bus when the bus started up. The Randy Orton was driving, and I said, get under there. So, I mean, I don't know, to be honest with you, Spug, do you pull the trigger on something like that this fast? I mean, they were in Evansville and they were in Champaign this weekend. So, I mean, this had to have gotten to Vince by the time everybody got to TV last night in Chicago. So, I mean, if you're Vince, do you pull the trigger on something like this? Or, I mean, according to the report that the National Guard were apparently very upset. But if, yeah, it was at a house show. It happened in Champaign, so Sorokin is checking her calendar. I think Evansville was Saturday, because Sin Cara, the former Mystico, performed on both events. He worked. He was his first couple shows with the company. And
who'd
he'll probably
work?
Show up. Oh, shoot, now you're going to challenge me. Yeah, I know it wasn't Evansville, it was Champaign, because I know that Will of Russell Talk Radio lives in the Evansville area, so I don't know if he went there or not. I'm horrible with names on who's in car work. I think maybe it was Chavo? Maybe not. I heard, Sin Cara faced Primo. Thank you, Phil Strong, from our chat room. So he faced a Colon instead of a Guerrero. The way it stayed in the high-flying attitude. I think honestly, the bottom line is that this is really weird to fire someone who's been with the company for going on 10, 11 years. For fans that don't know it, Fit Finley, Johnny Ace, or Johnny Laryngitis, if you're not a fan of this, and a couple other folks came over from WCW back in the day. And we'll see what happens. Coming up after the break, we will start part one of two parts. This call is going to be so huge that we had to separate out our WWE WrestleMania folks. So coming up after the break, Phil Strum from the Kipsey Journal, Scott Fishman, hopefully from the Miami Herald, will be here. Graham Koff, the founder of History of WWE.com, will join us on the World Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
Stop and think twice. Will you take your first step out that door? If you want to step up, you're gonna get knocked down. If you want to step up, you're gonna get knocked down. You have your chance to walk away, live to see another day. If you want to step up, you're gonna get knocked down.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnMyWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. And stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up, because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Hey, this is World War Animal. If you want the best and the most informative wrestling news, you listen for the Wojak, the Spud, and the Main Ziazi. This is World War Animal, and I listen. Oh, what a rush.
They play my song on so many different dials. Cause I got more than a disciplined child. So when they see me, everybody barack, barack. Man, I'm like a young gun, fully black, barack. I cry teardrops over the massive attack. I only make hits like I work with a racket and back. Look on my jacket and hat, so damn bizarre, so down to earth. I'm
welcome back to the second hour of All My World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. WrestleMania memories finally wrapping up here. Thanks again to Sid Vicious. The movie is River of Darkness. Find it from Green Apple Entertainment. They are an interesting production company working on the low end of the horror spectrum, but hey, it beats some of the horror crap I've seen out there in this world. As noted, we are part of the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com. If you want to go there, find last week's OTL, which is Otaku Talk Live, because Spug got the most money interview you could have gotten. And when him and Omega spoke to the main event, the icon, the showstopper, and the guy who stood there with a holy crap look on his face on Monday Night Raw last night, Shawn Michaels. Go to wildtalkradio.com and you can find that. We've got three different gentlemen here with us along with Spug that are going to give us their predictions for every WrestleMania match this year. And we'll also talk some Monday Night Raw. We'll talk some SmackDown. We may throw in some TNA just to, well, confuse the crap out of people. But then again, TNA does a great job of that as well. First off, we have the founder of historyofwwe.com, which if you just got from Kayfabe Commentaries, the Sabu DVD timeline from 1997. Graham Cawthon is here. Thank you for coming on with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Also here from his columns appear on the Miami Herald website. Jim told us he's not officially an employee. I was like, oh, make him one, pretty please. He is Scott Fishman.
How's it going?
We're doing great. Lastly, we have the man who, if you went to PoughkeepsieJournal.com today, you saw that he not only has recently spoken with the man with the Twitter problem, Michael Cole, but he recently spoke with the aforementioned Sabu, and that would be Phil Strum. Thanks for joining us. Before we get into WrestleMania, I gotta ask, tell the folks what happened when WWE put you on the phone for Cole, because when you told me this story, I was just sitting there like, they did what?
Well, they just wanted to confirm whether or not, I mean, I guess when he does some of his media, he does some of it in character and does some of it out. So they just wanted to confirm with me that I wanted him out of character, which of course that I did, because there would be no reason for me to have him in character. But, he was fantastic. For those people who don't know, he grew up in, northeastern Dutchess County in Amenia, New York. So, he's actually kind of a hometown boy. He still has family in the area. So, it was a real pleasure to talk to him. It was a lot of fun, interviewing him, and he was pretty excited about it, his shot at WrestleMania.
Yeah, how did the Sabu one come to you? Because that's just like, okay, bad enough he did his U shoot a while back with Kayfabe Commentaries, and my jaw just hit the floor going, holy crap, he can talk! But what's it like to be told, okay, you want to talk to Sabu?
Well, you know, he shows up, and you know, I'll give a shout out to my friends over at the Collector's Realm at Poughkeepsie. They do a great job of getting great, you know, big stars in for autograph signings and stuff like that. And he was doing it, and they went up to him and said, "Hey, this is Phil from the Journal. Would you be willing to sit down and do an interview with him?" And you know, he's a very—if anybody has ever spoken to Sabu or talked to him ever—he's a very shy person, and he's kind of quiet. But you know, once he opens up to you a little bit, you know, he'll get a little bit more comfortable. And you know, he was great. He was very, very respectful and very, very polite.
Show of hands or voice, who's going to Mania? I know Graham, you mentioned you. Are you attending Mania?
Yeah, I'm actually going to so many things that stupid Written in the Stars song is ingrained in my brain for the next year.
Well, for a while it was Peter Gabriel's Higher, and then you had that Kevin Rudolph song, the whole "I Made It." Like, okay, are you making the drive up from South Florida to the show, Scott, or are you being like me or watching it on pay-per-view?
Well, I'm not making the 10-hour drive, but I am flying out on Friday, so I will be attending the festivities for WrestleMania, so I will also have to endure the song countless times.
And I'm guessing, Phil, you and I are going to be watching it at Home Alone?
No, I'm watching it with some friends in the city on Sunday. But, you know, we're getting to the point now. I'm 31 years old. There's been 27 WrestleManias, and I still haven't been to any of them yet.
Yeah, I'm
going to New York and watching it with Phil.
There you go. You'll only need to take a 20-hour drive from Cleveland, who, yes, Cleveland Cavaliers
Suck it.
Breaking news on All My World of Wrestling Radio. Jersey Girl is going to her third Mania. She'll be on during 11 o'clock so she can rub it in all our faces. I was living in New York when 10 happened and missed it just cause financially I was a college student at St. John's. So it was like, okay, Mania or food? I vote food at this time. This is a fun card to go through. Before we go through the card, I want to go to everybody. We'll go around the room real fast. First to Spug, and then I'll bring everybody else up. Last night's Monday Night Raw, the confrontation of confrontations. First off, the Triple H Taker Shawn Michaels one. Being that he is your man crush, What did you think overall of the way that went down, Spug?
I know it's an unpopular decision, and he even said it as much. And I like how candid this storyline is, but I got the honking suspicion. I've got the honking suspicion that at Mania on Sunday, we're going to see 18-1.
Whoa. That's an interesting. Can we mark that on your bet sheet here that I have in front of me?
Well, I mean, the Homer pick would, yeah, I would pick Triple H. But I mean, seriously, we all know that Undertaker is at the end of his rope. We all know that. And how, even with his status inside the company and who he is, how long can you let a guy take up a roster spot that could be filled by somebody who could possibly transcend what he's done, you know, by only allowing him to wrestle 3 months out of the year? And not even wrestle.
Well, Andre the Giant was that way back in the day. You didn't see Andre every event. Taker's almost to that level. He is the Babe Ruth or modern day legend of the company.
I disagree. I think Undertaker is a legend in the business. Absolutely. Has he done things in the business that may never ever be duplicated? Absolutely. But Undertaker is no Andre the Giant. He isn't. There will never be another Andre the Giant. So, just like there will never ever be another Undertaker. But there comes a point when you have to let go and you have to move on. And quite honestly, I I personally believe it's time for The Undertaker. Because if you're looking at it from a business perspective, it is bad business to hold your company back for one guy to simply show up and cut promos for 2.5 months out of the year and do one match at one event and then be gone.
Brings up an interesting point. Phil, your thoughts on that whole promo, did it just seem a little forced, or did you think, this is great, this is why I'm watching Monday Night Raw, is to see a promo like this?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought they hit a home run with it. I think that the last couple of weeks, a lot of the interviews that they did in the ring leading up to this match were fairly generic, and I was fine with that, because you know what, I'm an old school wrestling fan, and that's the way promos used to be. Last night had a twinge of reality in it, and you know, hearing that coming out of Hunter's mouth about Undertaker and hearing it coming out of Undertaker's mouth about Shawn Michaels was interesting. It was a side of a promo that you don't normally hear, especially in WWE, and I think the fact that, you know, the two main creative forces behind this angle are the ones that are in it, you know, really brought that to the forefront. I don't really see it as you know what, Undertaker is never probably ever again going to be a full-time performer in the WWE, but there's a really good chance that Triple H is reaching that point too, and then he's going to, you know, back, you know, scale back with his appearances too. So, you know, it comes down to a lot of people looking at this from the standpoint of, well, why is this match such a big attraction at WrestleMania? Well, until Undertaker loses at WrestleMania, which personally I don't think that's ever going to happen, and that's my pick, but I think we're going to still, I mean, it's still a draw. It's a big part of Mania, and it's a big part of Mania that people look forward to every year. And for the last couple of years, I mean, they've given us some really, really good combinations with Undertaker that have really, you know, been a big attraction that is, you know, people have really been interested in. So I was not that interested in the match until last night's promo, so that should that should tell you that I thought it served its purpose well.
To Graham, your overall thoughts, as someone who's a historian of it and your site has followed and documented everything that Undertaker has done going back to becoming Kane the Undertaker. If you watch WWE Classics, you'll see footage going like, he was Kane the Undertaker? Wow, I didn't know that. Your overall thoughts on that promo, and do you think that's money enough to get people to go, damn, now I'm really going to watch WrestleMania for that match?
Well, to a large extent, I completely agree with what Phil had to say. Personally, I was not really into the match, just because it's a match we've seen before. I think with WrestleMania, there's a lot of opportunity to build new stars rather than have established guys face each other, because in that regard, I don't think anyone comes out really looking better for it. But after last night's promo, I'm a lot more interested in it. In fact, I wish they had done that a month ago, and I would have been hooked from the start rather than 6 days before the show and like, oh wait, no, I kind of want to watch this now. I think it is going to be Undertaker coming down on top, Triple H slowing down. As far as Undertaker only working a couple months a year, and that's completely accurate, for what he does, he's not sucking at it. The fans eat that stuff up. And a vast majority of fans, and no, I wouldn't necessarily count myself in that, but there's a lot of fans out there that are drawn into WrestleMania simply because of Undertaker's participation. So, you know, right now, you know, that's a driving force for the show. That's bringing them a lot of money. I do see Undertaker slowing down, but I think he's got at least another show in him. I think he's got another WrestleMania in him.
What do you think about that, Scott? Do you think that this is it for both of them, almost like WrestleMania 20 where Goldberg and Lesnar walked out on the company? Do you think this is a swan song for both?
Well, I think one of the good things about last night was agreeing with both what everyone has to say about how that the, you know, the pro both guys did an amazing job on the mic to get fans really excited about this match. But it also, I think, brought a little bit of doubt into, you know, whether Undertaker can beat Triple H, because when you look back at history, Undertaker did debut at WrestleMania. His WrestleMania debut was WrestleMania 7, which is in 91. And now 20 years later, he's having this match. So that can also be something that could be looked at as something that you know, the Undertaker, this is going to be coming to an end. So, yeah, I could see that being the case. And as far as Triple H, I think definitely someone that's going to the office and sort of slowing down as well. But one of the criticisms a lot of fans have had is not bringing up that, you know, 10 years ago in the Astrodome, Triple H lost to The Undertaker. So I don't know if they didn't bring it up because, you know, they wanted Triple H to come in strong and whatnot. But as far as The Undertaker, you know, I think he's definitely serving his purpose. I mean, look how excited the fans get when he comes in. I mean, I think the fact that he comes in every, you know, he takes these long breaks, I think just adds to his effectiveness. If you look back at the history of The Undertaker, he did take these long breaks. I mean, you even look back in 94 and whatnot and how he came back months after for the Survivor Series. So I think Undertaker, he's that marquee name. You have the two guys, the two marquee names that should be, I think, the main event of WrestleMania. I mean, you talk about, you know, I don't think he's taking anybody's spot as far, I mean, I think they're still giving the guys opportunities to grow. I don't think there are that many young guys that are at that level of The Undertaker yet or Triple H, so, but they are getting there. As what I interviewed about Ricky Steamboat not too long ago at FCW show, actually over the weekend, and he actually mentioned about that Triple H and The Undertaker, that's the marquee match right there. Miz is, you know, he's getting there with John Cena and whatnot, but you look at just two guys and just look at this, the way this whole thing started with not even saying a word, and they were able to just send that message to get fans excited, and those video packages I thought were really well done as well. So I think there's a ton of anticipation, but I don't think this is the last match for either one going in to on Sunday.
Did you see that match 10 years ago?
Oh, do we really have to bring it up?
I mean, did you see how horrible that was? Would you want
that? I actually liked the match. I thought it was a good match. I had fun with it.
It was like an atrocious match by all standards.
And he's a Triple H manslave, so yeah. That's saying a lot.
I have the ball gagging hood. I do.
I honestly thought that was one of the strongest matches of a really solid show.
That show, I mean, the worst match on that show was probably the six-man with Taz and the Acolytes and the Right to Censor, I think.
I thought it was an atrocious match, and by everybody else I've talked to, it was horrid.
Mike Chioda loved that he slept through half of it.
Exactly. But, you know, hey, would you want that on your resume to put that in a promo package? We're going to show Undertaker with short hair?
With the bike and Motorhead. Well, Motorhead playing near the ring is not a bad thing.
Not really.
One thing I like about Taker is that he has constantly reinvented himself. If you go through when they show these video packages, you see all the different little tweaks and changes that he's made to his character over the year. And that's something that I think a guy like, and, you know, not to get off track too much, but somebody like a Rob Van Dam has never really done that. He's never taken a chance and tweaked anything about his look or his image or anything like that. And Taker constantly takes chances and tweaks both his ring style and his image. And that's actually something that I think appeals to the fans about him, is that he's willing to take a chance.
I kind of hope, though, that when all is said and done, and he's going to hang up the tights, The one last ride, he goes back to the purple and black just once.
He's
with
kind
or without
been
the
there
guy
as
liner.
It is.
You know, I would say without. I'm talking, you know, the old school Undertaker's outfit, and I don't mean like, you know, the tie and the long suit coat, and it just. There was something about that outfit that was phenomenal.
I can't disagree with you on that, but as everybody also says, I know I'm going to get smacked for this one, but he's like Madonna. Madonna keeps, every time you turn around, when Madonna's got a new CD out, Madonna's, I'm now the disco queen. No, wait, now I'm a country person. Now I'm a goth person. Now I'm the mother of two with an amazing British accent that wasn't there from a lady from Michigan before. So, I mean, I don't mind him changing up the way he was, being from the dead man to the American badass to I'm an MMA guy. Now I'm back to the dead guy. So, I don't know. Before we actually get into picking matches here, I have to bring up the second holy crap promo of the night. And that was the great one, the somewhat great one, and the guy who thinks he's great because he walks around with a belt upside down. We had The Rock blow the roof off of the place, but friends that were over, my friends Jason and Catherine came over to watch. Catherine immediately went, yeah, Austin got a way bigger reaction. I'm like, oh wait, he's not done. They're still doing stuff for The Rock. The Rock's intro was pretty cool. Folks in our chat room already are saying, yeah, but did you see how they crapped on John Cena? And I was like, welcome to Chicago. This is the same town that at WrestleMania 22 that was in Chicago?
Yeah.
I think it was 22 that they cheered Mickey James versus Trish, and that was where she did the whole finger-licking thing that got deleted off the DVD magically. They tried to turn Triple H face in his match in that town. So them booing Marky Mark isn't something new. And then, of course, you had The Miz and Alex Riley. No, I'm not calling him A-Rod because there's only one A-Rod, and that's A-Rod, the guy who's taking me to my World Series this year. If we have
no,
to all
not.
Jump on Cameron Diaz's back and ride ourselves to the title. Cameron Diaz will take Kate Hudson's place and get us to the World Series. Enough of my ranting on the Yankees. The shock of shocks was The Rock got physical, boys, and The Rock got attacked by Miz and Riley. He fights them off, only to turn around and get hit with the FU, the AA, the whatever the heck they call it. And apparently went right to Twitter or whatever, and he voiced his thing saying he was going to kick Cena's ass at Mania. To Spug, I mean, did this take away even more from the Miz versus Cena, and now it almost seems like this is a triple threat match going into this pay-per-view, that The Rock is somehow going to be, say, I'm the host, fine, I'm a triple threater, let's go, boys.
I called it. I've called it since the beginning that The Rock was going to cost Cena the title somehow. And so, I'm not surprised that he's getting involved. I will say this, however. And I had this argument with a Canadian last night who sat there and tried to tell us that John Cena and The Rock and The Miz should have been earlier in the show and Triple H Undertaker should have closed out the show.
Oh, no way.
And I bold-faced told him he was wrong because you do not pay your main event talent to mid-card. You don't.
I definitely agree with that sentiment. I would never have put that promo mid-card or even at the end of, even to go to hour two. I would never have done that at 10 p.m. I don't know. Phil, you were watching live with a lot of people. What was your initial reaction?
Actually, last night I was watching by myself. But,
well, you're watching with the nation that we are.
No, of course. But actually, the ratings from last night do bear out Spug's point, too, since they built to a crescendo and they did an enormous number in the second hour last night, which is probably exactly what they wanted to do.
Ratings, by the way?
They did a 3.8, and their second hour, I think, was almost a 4.1.
What was the total? Do you know?
3.8 was the total rating.
I was off then. We predicted the ratings for Raw on WTR on Sunday night, and I had said that I wouldn't be surprised if it drew near a 6.
It was good. I think it's good if they don't peak everything going into Mania too, because it's just, you know, enough people have seen enough of the shows leading up to the show now that they'll actually watch the show on Sunday, which I think is the desired effect when you have such a build like this. I thought the segment last night was very good. Obviously Alex Riley was out there for one reason, which was to get thrown out of the ring because someone had to. You know, I thought everybody, for the most part, ended up looking fairly strong. The Miz just standing up to The Rock, which people probably didn't expect. The Rock actually getting physical, which shows that he's willing to do that. And I don't know if you guys read the interview he did with Yahoo in the past week, but it sounds like he's very amenable to doing a match at some point, be it SummerSlam in L.A. or WrestleMania next year in Miami. But he's willing to get down into it and actually get into a match with one of these guys, most likely Cena, I would imagine, being that that's like the big program that's going on right now. But I think they did a good job of keeping Miz in it, and it was a great ending because, you know, people were like, well, why did they touch before WrestleMania? Well, you know, It was Cena laying out The Rock, though, so now you have to tune into Mania to see what The Rock's reaction is. And he's going to do something, because he's already guaranteed that he's going to do something. And it keeps the match fresh, you know, Miz, in terms of saying, well, you know, at least Cena's actually going to fight me. You're not even fighting Rock, and me and Cena actually are going to have a good match. So I think they've done a fantastic job with this for the most part. They've taken a couple of missteps along the way, but I thought last night those two segments between the Undertaker Triple H segment and then the WWE Championship interview, I thought they did a fantastic job of building for WrestleMania.
Yeah, when we had Jim Barcelona on last week, and you can go to the archive at onlineworldofwrestling.com or OWWRadio.com, I bring it up because Scott works with Jim and Miami Herald. We had asked him, do you think this could turn, Rock and Cena could turn into a Sting Hulk Hogan situation from WCW, where in September 96, Sting left, never got in the ring again until Starrcade 97. Could you milk Cena versus Rock that long to get to Miami next year, where most honestly all of us may agree he's going to be the marquee name to go in Hall of Fame? Do you think that that could possibly happen, Scott? Or do you think, it, like a lot of us do also, that SummerSlam is going to be their destination to go at it?
I mean, either destination, I mean, work. I mean, you look at L.A. and you think of The Rock, who has so many movie projects going on. So I think it has to do a lot with The Rock's schedule. He obviously showed yesterday that he's willing to get physical, and he still hasn't, you know, he hasn't lost a step aside from that nip up where he kind of fell down backwards. But aside from that,
broke his leg.
Aside from that, he did show that he will get physical in the ring. And I think if they wanted to turn John Cena heel, that was just a little preview that they can actually do it. I mean, if we're one guy that could turn John Cena full-on heel where everyone will start booing him, I think The Rock will do it, especially in Miami, if they wait till Miami. I think that's the perfect venue to have The Rock and Cena, especially if they're planning on inducting The Rock into the WWE Hall of Fame. And if The Rock can make these appearances every so often, I think they could milk it for the next couple months. I mean, they'll have Cena do like a program on the side, and then, you know, come back to this at different points. Maybe you're not SummerSlam, have like another thing going on. I think it'll keep the fans' interest, and I think it'll be boiling over once WrestleMania happens. So I definitely see this could be a reality, and what, you know, fans will want to, you know, could wait to see next year.
Well, when you look, Graham, at his roster, he's got, I believe it's called Fast Five or Furious Five is the next. He plays a marshal in the new Fast and Furious series. So he's going to do press junkets for that in May. So he's gone for that. If you go with what that idea of he's staying and you'll see him show up. He's also currently filming, I believe it's the sequel to Journey to the Center of the Earth that had Brendan Fraser in it. He's involved in that. So can you go with that formula? Can you think that WWE and Brian Giewertz and Ed Koski and Stephanie Levesque can sit there and go, all right, we got – I mean, can they do what Bischoff did back in the day and not pull the trigger and hold off that long?
Well, I mean, Bischoff didn't invent that booking idea. I think that it's a good idea should they want to go that direction. It kind of goes back to something that hasn't been done too often in the past couple decades, which is long, drawn-out programs, and which they can do if they want to. I mean, they're smart. They know how to do their job, but it just depends on what they want to hot shot. I think, really, he's not getting the most exposure right now. He's not the person that everyone's talking about, but I think the person that's benefiting most from all this has to be Miz. I mean, a year ago, he's working the opening match. 2 years ago, he couldn't even make the pay-per-view. He was in the dark match. And now he's not only in the main event of WrestleMania as WWE champion, he's working with Rock and Cena, who are arguably two of the biggest names in the history of the industry. So I think it speaks volumes for him. He can only get better by working with these guys. And I'm very interested to see. I don't think whatever happens at WrestleMania, I don't think the issue is going to be resolved between even Miz and Cena. So I'm curious to see where they go from there regarding the title. And I think it would be a huge shot in the arm for him to keep the belt. And I hope that they go that direction.
Yeah. And before we get into the actual Mania stuff, Spug, and I noticed it, and like I said, I had some friends over last night at the house to watch the show. Miz didn't look lost. He looked like he could go verbally with them.
Completely. And I think he can hold his own with those two. Those two are fantastic talkers. He didn't miss a step. He was there mentally. The fans bought into it. I think he's a huge star, but he has not come close to reaching his potential.
All right. We've got nine matches here, and we've got three people plus Spug who not only will make his predictions on the WrestleTalk Radio finale of WrestleMania stuff, they're on this Saturday, I believe it is. What time are you guys on?
10 p.m. Eastern. WrestleMania 3.
Then you get to stick for CB Radio, which is hosted by Sir Rockin', the Godfather Rob Parks, and one of our personal favorites, the Subway Guy, will be there.
I will only be here for the WrestleMania preview show on Saturday.
Ah, won't stick around.
No, Saturday's my birthday.
Oh, birthday chops if you're in a wrestling locker room. Run for your life.
No, I got those last weekend, sir.
Oh, I'm sure you did. Nothing's worse than being in a locker room watching that happen. I'm going like, and I'm glad I'm not a worker.
No, one of my buddies who knows when my birthday is was on the card. And we had a battle royal, and he got me in the – this is way before the show. They're all of us kind of just working and having a good time in the ring before anybody showed up. And he got me in the corner and chopped the shit out of me.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's a vision I don't want, but thank you. Okay, hopefully everybody's got a cheat sheet in front of them. If not, we'll go match by match. You can give me who's going over and why, and if you want to hold it to 60 seconds, that'll be cool. We'll start with Phil. We'll start on SmackDown. Rey Mysterio, if his RoboCop body will let him get to it, will take on the not-so-dashing Cody Rhodes.
My pick is Cody Rhodes. I think this has the potential to be one of the sleeper matches of the show. I think it's going to be good. I really like what they've done with this angle, and I think Cody has a lot to benefit from this. And apparently this was, a lot of it was Rey Mysterio's idea to get this thing going for the two of them. So I think they have faith in Cody, and I think he'll come away with the victory.
Okay, Scott, you got Rey or Cody, and why?
I agree with Phil in the fact that I think Cody should be the one to go over, and it will be a sleeper match of the night. A lot of people have high expectations for the match, and I hope they give them enough time for the match. And you could see a little bit of Dusty Rhodes interference. I mean, this whole angle continued on when Cody came back is when Dusty Rhodes made that big swerve, like that old NWO swerve it kind of reminded me of, where Cody and Dusty were beating up on Rey Mysterio. So I think Cody Rhodes should win this matchup. Virgil, face protector and all.
Wow. All right, so that's two for Cody. Are we going to make it three, Graham, or are you going with Ray Ray?
I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. I think Cody will win. I think it'll be a complete screw job ending. I don't think they'll be given much time, but I do think that the program will continue and Ray will eventually get his win back.
Wow. This is getting interesting. Spug, are you going with Cody, or are you going with Ray Ray?
I'm honestly going to go with Ray. While I would like to see Cody win, I think that Ray winning and continuing the program makes some moniker of sense. Because, quite honestly, I'd like to see Cody Rhodes get kicked in the face again.
Ooh. Well, could you continue this? Let's say I'm going to go with Ray, but I want to go with Ray for this reason. Continue this on to have maybe a match where Ray's mask is on the line or something like that at Extreme Rules, which is May 1st, or milk this another couple pay-per-views. Because if Cody wins, you know, then unless Ray is going back on the shelf again to have more of his parts taken care of. And fans, don't get me wrong, I'm not mocking Ray. I praise the guy for all the stuff he's done over all the years, but you know, when you listen to his promo on the, you know, don't try this at home thing, and the guy goes, I've had surgery on my knee five times, I'm sitting there going, that's four times too many for me, kids, oh my god. All right, next on the card is one of the first title matches, and it's one that I'm enjoying, but it's not the title match I wanted, and that would be your current U.S. Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Sheamus, taking on Daniel Bryan. Not sure if any ladies are going to get involved in here. To Phil, are we going with the Irish curse, or are we going with the American dragon?
I'm going to go with Sheamus in the palest match possibly in WWE history in terms of skin hue. Again, just like the Mysterio Rhodes match, I mean, these guys in the match they had a couple of weeks ago on Raw, very, very good match. I think they work well together. I'm actually happy to see both of them make the main card of WrestleMania because I didn't think they would. And it's nice to see the U.S. title back on WrestleMania because it's been several years. But I think they'll go with Sheamus on a show that's this big, and you know, Daniel Bryan should be happy to be on the card.
Now, it is amazing, Scott, that there's actually singles belts on the line here, and it's not just the world title. So give me your choice. You go with Sheamus, or do we have a title change?
Yeah, I mean, I want to go with Sheamus because I don't want to see it. Personally, for me, the U.S. title, I mean, playing hot potato with the belt. I mean, Sheamus just won it back. He's just getting in his groove again. So I think Sheamus will defeat Daniel Bryan.
Hmm. Okay, Graham. Is this going to be like a thing that three of you are all going to agree and then Spug and I are going to be together on here? What's going on?
I'm pretty cooperative tonight. I think Sheamus, it seems like whatever momentum Daniel Bryan had at the tail end of last year, early part of this year, is gone. And at the same end of the spectrum, Sheamus' losing streak is now a winning streak. And in fact, he killed Daniel Bryan pretty good on Monday, too. So I expect him to win. I'm kind of concerned as to maybe they don't have anything left to do with Daniel Bryan. Maybe a lack of charisma is pushing him down the card a little bit.
Sounds like me. Sorry, I was told recently I have no personality and no charisma.
Yeah. And just a couple months ago, he was getting really big pops, and I mean, the crowd was into the matches, and then they saddle him with the Bella Twins and Gail Kim, and I just, you know, what the hell? And now loses the belt. Yeah, I think Sheamus will roll over him. Hopefully, they give it some time, but it won't change the outcome.
Do you think it was a test bug to see how he would do if you added in the woman factor and he may have not passed and that's why we had a title change?
It could have been, but they could have given him better women, too.
What do you think, Spug?
I don't know. This seems to be the starter angle for everybody is something with the women's is. I will say this, though. There is a feud waiting to happen that is in every wrestling geek's dream in that company right now. And if they just make it happen, it's gold. And that's CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan.
That was my dream match. My dream match for this year was Punk versus Low-Key versus Daniel Bryan for the U.S. title. Damn you, Johnny Ace. You screwed my dream over. I'll go in a corner and cry. Give me a winner, Spug.
Unfortunately, I think it's going to be Sheamus, and then Daniels is going to be future endeavored shortly after, which is sad because they really do have a talent in Daniels that is truly a unique talent. Mm. And to not give him the room to flourish and shine like he can. I mean, when he got fired, quote unquote, from WWE, and was doing the I think it was a Shikara
show. He was
show,
everywhere.
But he was doing a Shikara show in Michigan, and he said, I just kicked. I forget who he was wrestling. You know, as hard as I could, and that was PG. You know. If you let this talent that you have wrestle, actually wrestle, you will see some of the most amazing things that you could see from individuals. And yet WWE refuses to let people like CM Punk and Bryan Danielson shine to their full potential.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he may be set up later on. Sir Rock and the same. Maybe set him up with Sin Cara as one of Sin Cara's first feuds. Turn dragon heel. Who knows? I'm gonna go with Daniel Bryan getting the belt back because I'm kind of going almost with an all baby face thing here. I got a couple heels picked in here, but So I'm gonna be the one and go with the American Dragon and say he wins at Mania because it's Mania. Next is an 8-man match, which was recently announced, and that is the Core. So no Intercontinental title match, no tag title match. Thanks, WWE. Taking on Big Show, Kane, Santino Marella, and Vladimir Kozlov. Do you even care to see this match, Phil?
I'm fine with it. It's a way to get 8 guys on the card where you don't have to do a Money in the Bank ladder match like they have done in the past. And honestly, a Money in the Bank ladder match with these 8 guys might be horrible to watch anyway. But, Santino, as people have said today, you know, he's been in the company 4 or 5 years and he's done everything he's been asked to do. So it's kind of nice to see him get rewarded with a spot on the biggest card of the year because he never really gets there unless he's in drag. So like he did a Santina in the Miss WrestleMania Battle Royal a couple of years ago. But, you know, I gotta say, you know, the Core is in much better shape than the new Nexus is right now because the new Nexus pretty much all got punted back to Florida Championship Wrestling, and the Core, they're doing okay. I mean, Wade had a nice win over Kofi on Kofi Kingston on SmackDown, a really nice looking finish, and you know, it's some young guys, it's some veterans, Big Show and Kane, you know, Kozlov, I really could give or take him in that match, but we got to go with the Core here because it seems like they're the ones getting the push, so why not? And Santino's an easy guy to pin.
Yeah, and go to YouTube, kids. If you put in Husky Harris' new gimmick, you'll get to see the wonder that is Axel Mulligan. It's a car wreck of car wrecks if you can find it. To Scott, the heels or the faces and why?
Well, I think, first off, that this match will probably be sandwiched in between one of the big matches, just, you know, so people have time to go get snacks and whatnot, kind of like the Divas matches are most of the time. But I actually think that Kane, Big Show, Santino, and Vladimir are going to go over. I hope, and I think it probably won't go that long. I think it'll be one of those, you know, having the fans leave happy from this matchup, just getting them excited and back into the show. And just it's amazing to see these guys at the Core all involved in WrestleMania. After last year, we didn't even know who these guys were, and now look at them. They're part of WrestleMania, so I just think it's interesting looking back at what a difference a year can make for WrestleMania. But I thought it was going to be Kofi Kingston and Christian, but Christian seems to be part of the whole Edge angle, and Kofi, I heard that might be part of the Drew McIntyre, but I hope Kofi's part of the card somehow. But I see Kane, Big Show, Santino, and Vladimir getting the win over the Core.
Okay, Graham, we're going with the Core, or are we going with Big Show and Friends?
I'm going with the Core. I think this is a good opportunity for WWE to establish some new guys, to give them some credibility. I think Santino being in the match is just a reward for him being as insanely over as he's been for the past year or so, as evidence alone by being the last guy thrown out of the Royal Rumble. I don't know why Vladimir's in the match. I think they could have, if they wanted to, done an injury angle and put in someone else that might have been more deserving. But beside the point, I'm going with Core. I think in the next year, though, Barrett especially will be a breakout star.
Yeah, Scott brings it up, Spug, because it was in May that you had, and our colleague Jim Barcelone was in the building when it went down, the launch of Nexus 1.0. Are you taking the heels here, or do you think Big Show and Kane are going to be dancing with Santino and Tamina and everybody else in the building?
Kane victory trumpet for the win.
All right, now we're going to
That's all I got to say, because watching that last night on Raw, freaking hilarious.
Yeah, speaking of completely hilarious, if you watched the promo last night with Snooki and Trish Stratus, and you're wondering, who's that guy who bumped into all of that? Believe it or not, that's Rob Echoes' brother. If Rob Echoes doesn't ring a bell to you, that's Robbie E. of the Shore, kids. So one of TNA's creations, his brother just got on WWE TV. Woohoo! To the match that nobody wants to really see, or maybe they do. I don't know if you want to watch someone who my 2-year-old is taller than. Snooki, Trish Stratus, and John Morrison taking on Lay Cool and Dolph Ziggler. And as you watched last night, you saw Michelle McTaker is still in that horrific-looking boot from a ankle injury to Phil. Dude, is this total comedy, or do you see Morrison and Ziggler totally stealing this, and who goes over?
I think it's going to be, you know, 7 or 8 minutes, if that. You know, you got some good guy, people who can work in there. Trish Stratus can go as long as she's prepared and wearing the proper foot attire. But this is interesting for me. I don't know if you guys saw this, but in the story I did with Cole, I also did reach out to Snooki's representatives because she's from my newspaper's coverage area also. She actually still lives in this area. But they declined, so I'm not too upset about it. And I was told by WWE, it's not you, don't worry. But I'm going with Team Snooki because, you know, it's ridiculous I'm calling it Team Snooki. But I think that, you know, you don't bring somebody like that in and have them lose. I mean, that's silly. It's good to see Morrison and Ziggler in something, you know. They might as well. I don't think you're – I cannot believe – and, you know, crack me up when you just said it, Alan, but I can't believe how short she is. She's only 4'8" or 4'7".
Yeah, and that was the funny part, because we talked about it with Jim on the other night. Scott, we're just sitting there going, there's 12-year-olds walking around South Florida that are taller than this girl. I mean, it's
a little 5'2". She towers over her.
Yeah, it's a great coup, though, Scott, media-wise. If there wasn't enough attention with The Rock and Austin and everybody from the past coming back, but now you've got the mainstream look that WWE had when you had Money Mayweather come in a couple of years ago and you had Tyson at WrestleMania 14. Do you think she's like Vicky Guerrero was on Raw a couple weeks ago? Snooki's in for 30 seconds and she's done, or do you think she really will take bumps in this match? And who do you got?
No, I think luckily there's, you know, Trish and Morrison and Dolph and Laycool who are pretty good in the ring, so I think that'll kind of take away from, you know, her inexperience in the ring. So I think she'll have a few, you know, moves in and out, and then she'll have one moment where she'll take maybe a bump or something, and then it'll just be from there. I think Trish and Morrison and Snooki will take it. For me, this is entertaining because I know I'm going to take a lot of heat from this, but I do watch Jersey Shore. So it is something me and my friend have something where we call Trashy Thursdays, where we watch TNA, and then we watch Jersey Shore after that. So it's kind of a Thursday night ritual for us to watch that. So for me, that'll be entertaining. But I think it was, like you said, Snooki being so short, it's just seeing her and Michelle McCool just going face-to-face last night was just crazy. But it's just going to be interesting to see if they can keep Snooki, you know, sober before this whole match takes place, maybe keep her dressing the room alcohol-free,
because
I think that'll be the key to the
She
whole,
was hammered last night.
Oh, yeah, and that was a pre-taped segment, too.
Yeah, she was slurring her words. I don't even... You talk about WWE being all PGs, and I just thought that was interesting that we saw that.
She's getting in character.
Exactly. Give me a winner, Graham, and why.
I'm going with Team Snooki. I think that, make sure she's got some shots in her. Maybe she'll do some more bumps. Maybe you'll get more athleticism out of her. I really hope that this is, and I wish these two guys were higher in the card, but I'll take what I can get. I really hope this ends up being a good showcase for Morrison and Ziggler. I would love to see the match end with a Starship Pain, and if we get that, I'm happy with it.
Okay, the chat room's getting mad, so just give me who's going over, and we'll move on to the real wrestling on the show. Go ahead, Spug.
The faces are gonna go over.
Alright, I'm going babies as well. Let's move to a match that has gotten interesting in the last few weeks, and it is the one that's basically eliminated everyone from the Nexus to get sent back and be turned into people like Axel Mulligan. And that would be Randy Orton versus CM Punk. Give me a winner, Phil.
Randy Orton.
Okay.
Don't really have a particular reason why. I just have a feeling he's going to win.
And to Scott, are you fine with them working this injury angle with Orton? Does it make him come back even stronger to win this match?
Yeah, I think that was the one thing putting a little kink in the armor of Randy Orton going in. So I think Orton's going to beat CM Punk. I mean, for the last couple of weeks, you saw Randy Orton taking out every member of Nexus. And, you know, I think this is CM Punk's way of saying, yeah, I'm by myself, but I have this, you know, injury I can work on. So I think that'll be Orton's way of getting over and beating CM Punk.
Before Graham goes, this is where I miss Mace, because Mace created Raw, Michael Cole Raw Bingo, and we tried to play it last night because he has a spot on the board where you get to put a chip down if Michael Cole calls any move that Punk hits the Anaconda Vice, and I had my chip ready. I was ready when he was going. He's going to call the GTS the Anaconda Vice. Do it. Come on, do it. And he did it. To Graham, do you think Punk wins this, Orton wins it, or the woman that played Randy Orton's wife wins it?
I think the fans win on this one. I have been sitting in all week after week watching CM Punk. I think he is really hitting his stride right now. He reminds me a lot of and the tone is completely different, but I think the psychology is there. He reminds me a lot of a heel Jake the Snake. And I just love everything he's saying. I would love to see Punk win, if only because I think he has something else to brag about for the next couple of weeks. But it would, I think it makes the most sense for Orton to go over.
Okay, are we making it a clean sweeps, Bug, and everybody's taking RKO here, or are you going to throw the Punk cog in the wheel?
I'm going with Punk, dude.
He's going the Punk. All right. All right, let's get to the last of our interesting singles matches, and I want to talk about this one, but I got to get this segment done, and it sucks. And that is the Let's Shut Michael Cole Up Once and For All match. I'm gonna put it out there. Jerry Lawler's got to win this thing. Rumored to be in his corner as a surprise is Jimmy Hart. I don't know. I don't have tea leaves in front of me, Phil. But you talked to Cole. What did he give you a hint or anything? What he thinks should go down with his character in this show?
Not particularly. I did ask him flat out if he was also calling the show. And he kind of hesitated a bit and said, that hasn't been decided yet. And he also indicated that he had no idea what he was going to be doing in terms of commentary. So no clue who's going to be calling the bulk of the show. I would assume that Josh Matthews and Booker T would have a little bit of a piece in it, too. And I would assume Cole and Lawler are going to call a little bit of it. But I would imagine that at least one of them won't be calling the end of the show because this match is not going on last. But and that Jim Ross maybe possibly to be a part of this too. I think this will just be fun. You got Stone Cold out there. You got Jack Swagger out there. You know, Lawler has been around for a long time to have not ever been on WrestleMania, and you know this means a lot to him. And you know what? Him and Cole are friends, you know, legitimately. So it actually means a lot to Cole too to have to be a part of this with Jerry Lawler, and he pretty much strongly indicated that to me. So, and he's a huge fan of the Andy Kaufman stuff too. He mentioned that to me, that he used to watch all that stuff when he was in high school, and he was really, really, really into it. So obviously Lawler's gonna win. I think they'll have some fun with it. And you know what? You need this kind of a segment on WrestleMania once in a while.
Do we want to all agree? Does Scott and Graham want to agree in a clean sweep? This is all, we're all going with Lawler, or is somebody really think Michael Cole's gonna win this thing?
I was thinking Cole for the long
same thing with. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree with you, and then I just see it being the whole Bret Hart Vince McMahon thing all over again, where it's just nonstop offense from Lawler, maybe a stunner on Swagger.
I was initially thinking for the longest time that it would be a test going forward, is if they're going to put the belt on him.
To end the streak for the obvious connotation.
He already has a legendary career. I think someone, you know, that needs this win should get that win. But Triple H isn't the guy.
Do you see Shawn Michaels, Graham, screwing Triple H to help Taker win this thing? Or do you think Shawn's nowhere near involved, and who's your winner?
I can see that definitely happening, whether on purpose or accident. I'm going with Undertaker, and, you know, I can't help, over the past couple of weeks since this has been building up, that both guys keep saying there can be only one. I'm having Highlander flashbacks.
Yeah,
does this mean
big time.
One of the guys is going to cut off the other guy's head? If so, yes, it should go on last.
Adrian Paul and Christian Lambert are going to come out
yes.
with big swords. Like, let's
yes.
do this.
If there's a lightning show to end WrestleMania, yes, that should go on last.
Have Taker standing there and shaking.
There can be only one.
I get to put Spug in the hot seat because the Spug, as everyone knows, bows at the temple of Triple H. And you already said you weren't a big fan of WrestleMania 17's match. Does the son-in-law take this, or does Taker keep his streak?
I really think that Triple H is going to win.
Whoa.
I do. And he said it last night. It may not be the popular choice. You know, he may not be the one that wants to end it, and people definitely don't want him to end it. But I think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I think it's going to happen for a couple of reasons. Like I said earlier, Undertaker's done. He's done. I really think that he cannot continue to perform at any level like he's been performing the past few years.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I gotta go with Taker, just cause I think if Taker, my friend Jason Davis said it best last night, if Taker loses, Michelle McCool's on the unemployment line the next day. Yes, I said it. Hi, Jerry McDivitt. I'm real hard to, easy to find. Radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Which brings us to the match that, dear God, I don't want to watch, but I'm forced to, and that would be The Miz versus Superman himself, as Omega and Will like to call him, Marky Mark, no funky bunch. He's in the main event again, Phil. Does The Miz have a chance in hell of walking out of here with the belt, or what?
I hope so, because I'm picking him. I think The Miz is going to win. I agree with what Graham said earlier on, that I think that The Miz stands to benefit the most from this storyline. I think whatever happens with The Rock and John Cena will lead to something very big for the company later on, and I think The Miz has done an outstanding job of representing the company over the last couple of weeks. He's been on Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Conan O'Brien in a span of 2 weeks showing off his belt. I think he was on Attack of the Show also on G4. I saw that the other day. And I just think that Cena gains nothing from winning the match, so why have him win when you have this ready-made awesome storyline with The Rock waiting for John Cena, and it's a storyline that doesn't need the championship. The Miz has done a good job as champion. A lot of people don't necessarily like the way he's been presented as champion, but you know what? He's not going to be the big tough guy, and he's never going to be the big tough guy. So, you know what? Let him win at WrestleMania. Let him have his moment. The Miz is the WWE champion.
So you're going to stick with that, Graham? You think Graham earlier said The Miz. That's your pick?
Yeah, I'm going with Miz. I think it's a huge step backwards if they go with Cena. I'm not saying that because I don't like Cena. I like Cena very much, but, you know, what's the point? I think this is a great opportunity to establish a huge heel they can work on top and can bring up, you know, the lower guys that need someone to work with. I think if you want to establish Miz as a future top guy, you do it at WrestleMania, you do it against John Cena. And if they don't, they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Okay, Scott, you want to make it a triple with The Miz, or are you going with Cena?
Yep, I'm going to go with The Miz. I mean, I think Miz should win. I mean, he's a guy that has proven that he should be champion, but I think this will further cement him, solidify himself to being a main event guy. I mean, there's so much debate if The Miz has the championship look or should be the champion since he won the title. There was even talk of him losing in the next night. I mean, so much deliberation about it. I think this will, you know, help The Miz establish himself further as the WWE champion. I think John Cena doesn't need to win the title, and I think it'll be a pretty stale ending if that is the case. Cena wins the match. So I'm going to have to go with The Miz to...
The history of WWE.com. Don't type history of the WWE because you'll end up... Well, I don't want to know where you're going to end up. Thanks to everyone.
I'll tell you what, not to interrupt, but can I plug my newspaper too?
No.
Plug it, brother. Plug it. Plug it. Why not?
ShelbyStar.com. ShelbyStar.com. Go there right now. Cleveland County, North Carolina.
Yeah. Do you have pins and buttons like Colt Cabana?
No.
Then you can't pop it.
I'm working on it.
Do you do stand-up comedy?
I might go see him while I'm in Atlanta. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, me. I think I want to too. Also, I actually interviewed Colt last week, so it'll be up on the Larry Holt site for cheap plug there. But yeah, I want to check him out too. I think that'll be pretty entertaining.
All right, coming up after the break, Kevin Scott will join us. If the children allow it, Sarah and Ari Diagon will join us. Jersey Girl, who's going to be going to WrestleMania as well, will join us. On Wild Talk Wrestling Radio, we'll be back here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
think you're special. You do. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it when you laugh at me.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio. We're brought to you the Wild Talk Radio Network. I just told Saragan that's a great pick because the Iceman Buck Quartermain, who's actually going to become a firefighter here in Tampa, Florida. That is his intro music. WrestleMania 19 saw Fred Durst minus Wes Borland. 17? I thought it was 19 that he did his thing. I thought it was in Seattle that Fred came to the ring.
No.
I thought it was in Seattle because it was a part of the Mania of WrestleMania DVD. Because it was the match that Nathan Jones got destroyed in the locker room and magically made his way out to help Big, to defeat Big Show and, Albert. Thanks for that little reminder there of playing Scott Hudson. Go to owradio.com and you can hear last week's show, which was a tribute to WCW's demise 10 years ago on March 26th. And magically, look what WWE.com did. They put up a whole subpage on the history of WCW. Yeah, you're not listening at all. But thanks. Really appreciate it. Thanks to Phil Strum, Scott Fishman, Graham Cawthon for joining us. Don't forget, it's the history of WWE.com is the site that Graham runs, and it's amazing. We're being joined by some other folks. Some folks that haven't been here in a while, namely because their children won't let them come out and play. But they are the hosts of In This Very Ring, which is a great podcast. Found online. Sarah and Ari Dagan are going to join us. And also Spug's other man crush, and that would be our friend Kevin K. Jamal Scott.
Jamal!
He's here.
Thank you for that.
And find Kevin Scott's Facebook page because you'll get a great laugh. A trip down history lane, maybe. Jersey Girl, one of our residents of the Wild Talk Radio Network, may or may not be joining us here as well. Depends.
I'm here, Alan.
She's here! Yes! Your microphone's probably as crappy as mine. I think my mic may be future endeavored soon, like my butt was from ASW this past Friday night. Thanks to ASW, but I know no charisma, no personality. I get the hint.
Did you get fired, Alan?
No, I walked away. I was told that I had 25 episodes ago in ASW Chain Reaction. I told them, I don't want to do this. And I said, I don't want to do it. And they're suddenly going, well, you have no charisma, no personality. I was like, I told you this 25 episodes ago, dumbasses. My job's not to, you know, draw attention to myself. My job is to make whoever is standing next to me, whether it be you, whether it be Kevin, whether it be, you know, Snooki, to make them look great and not steal the spotlight. And apparently I wasn't doing that. So, oh well. I get to stay at home on Friday nights and play Wii Party or Rock Band with the kids, which is cool.
Yeah, I think I'm on my computer mic because my other mic just kind of went kaput on me. But I can hear you. So.
I hope so. The God of Internet can help you. Sorokin has helped many of us. He may even have his own little seminar coming to a town near you. He's going to be possibly touring with Charlie Sheen. We're not 100% sure on that. Take a look at wildtalkradio.com. You never know. We're going to do the same type of roundtable thing, except Spug and I aren't going to talk as much. Or maybe we will. I don't know.
I'll talk to Jamal.
Oh, could you? Yeah, but does he have to do them? Now, can he do what you want me to type in my little word thing here, have Jamal make picks and have Kevin make picks? Are you going to be stereotypical like that? Do you want that?
No. Okay. Listen. He has a new name. Yes, he may be Kevin Scott. We all know this.
Yeah, but this isn't good times where at the end of the credits it goes, and Kevin Scott is Jamal.
But as of a month ago, he has been christened Jamal, and it must stick.
God.
Wow, this show is racist.
We are racist.
Yeah, Jerry McDivitt is the WWE, the Glad people. Al Sharpton will be calling in soon. I mean, good lord.
Oh, I have Jesse Jackson on my Rolodex.
Oh, please don't. We're only going to Jesse we're only going to Jesse Jackson on how to do a cover up of, nah, that ain't my baby.
Okay, it looks like
wow.
It ain't my baby. Sorry.
All right.
So glad Kevin got the reference.
Exactly. Okay, we got 9 matches to do here, but I want to do it as fast as we can. We'll present the same 2 things that we did to our previous crew. To Sarah and Ari, your thoughts on the promo of Taker, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels?
It was fun to watch. I enjoyed it. Nothing, I guess, more to say than that. Shawn Michaels is always a joy to see on TV. He's been my favorite for a very long time, so.
I was watching it. I was saying to Sarah, I think a lot of the time with Taker, with Triple H, less is more. I mean, being, understated and just, let their, bold appearance speak for them does well. So I think it was great bringing in Shawn Michaels, for whom more is more. Just go and go and go.
Okay, Jersey, your thoughts? Were you sitting there like a lot of us when they started hitting the low blows on each other, going, they're really going there?
Actually, I was sitting there with my mouth open when Shawn Michaels came out. I wasn't expecting that.
To Kevin, I mean, this is, I know I'm not supposed to talk TNA, but I'm going to do it. Deal with it, Spug. I'm going to talk TNA real quick with Kevin. This is everything that is wrong with TNA. Because you bring in these veterans into TNA like you did last year, where you had the Nasties come in, you had Val Venus come in, and instead you're doing it here where
TNA.
You...
Ah!
Yeah, my show!
No,
I know I'm pulling a Nick Anthony, but my show!
Gone! 3 weeks without mentioning that pile of vomit from Florida. Can we go one more?
Well, you guys are boycotting it on your show. We're not doing it over here. But, I mean, this is the proper way, it seems, Kevin, to handle 3 legends. And I know the word legend gets thrown around so much. I mean, Larry Zbyszko practically threatened to sue Jericho. And if you go to Last Call with Scott Hall on YouTube, you'll find all about Larry Z, and the Rogan looks great, Larry. But what are you thinking of all this? Overall with this promo?
I did enjoy the promo a lot. I gotta say, pretty much what it was for me was a little bit, what I expected, maybe throughout the last month or so, in terms of, just doing something to make me actually care about the actual match. Granted, now it's all about the outcome, of course, with the streak going on and everything. But I really didn't give a damn about Triple H and Undertaker up until last night. Like, granted, when Triple H interrupted the Undertaker's entrance a couple weeks back, that was great. But after that, just, Triple H in the ring for a 20-minute promo, going on and on and on, don't really care. Undertaker pops up, don't really care. It's kind of sad they actually had to add HBK into it to make it interesting, because really, we're talking about Undertaker and Triple H. They should have been able to do something. But as far as like TNA, if this is TNA, the 3 guys would have came out, they would have just stared at each other, and then Eric Bischoff would have came down and said, the network wants you guys to wrestle at WrestleMania. That would have been the gist of the entire promo. TNA cannot do that correctly because, I don't know, it's TNA.
Yeah, and as Spug says, we can't talk TNA anymore. He's invoking his man card and saying, unless we're talking about Trish Stratus, we can't talk TNA anymore. So we won't. I'm sorry, listeners. No more TNA talk. Thursday night, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Yeah, I had to throw the TNA thing in there for Omega since he's totally popping like crazy. Trish is on TV again. Woohoo! To Sarah and Ari, we brought this up in the last hour with our trio of contributors. The way this promo went down last night with The Miz and Alex Riley getting involved physically with The Rock and then Cena hitting the AAFU, OBGYN, whatever the hell it's called this week. Is The Miz just almost like Chris Jericho was at WrestleMania in Skydome, where he's standing there with the 2 belts with Steph and Triple H going, hey, I'm the champ, remember me?
It sort of feels like that a little bit, and I think he's definitely been working hard the last few weeks to remind everyone that, while you're all looking in that direction, checking out The Rock and John Cena, guess what? I'm the one with the belt and sort of coming up the middle and getting his own attention back.
Oh, he's been working his butt off to get that attention. And, I mean, credit to WWE, you know, programming. They're giving him the time. They're giving him the chance to, you know, to spout off, to, you know, get physical just as much as the other guys. It's just, I mean, no matter how hard he tries, he's not going to have, I mean, he's not John Cena, he's not The Rock. It feels like that's being forced just because, well, he's the champ. They've got to try to make him, you know, seem as important.
However, he is also good at what he does.
I mean, he is good at what he does. He just hasn't been doing it for as long as these guys. Doesn't have the same rep.
Now, in Jersey, you've been to a lot of events recently, especially the one that was in Philadelphia. What's the overall vibe of fans sitting there with Cena? Is he as hated as the live crowd made him seem in Chicago?
Well, that is like what crowd you get that night and stuff. I mean, in Philly, I know like a lot of the kids pretty much were excited because when he came down the last time I was in Philly, he came down from the crowd because they were doing that whole Nexus and banning and stuff, and he would just show up out of the blue anywhere. So everyone was kind of excited about that. But, I mean, like I said, all knows what arena you go to.
To Kevin, Spug wanted me to say that TNA, your cat being set on fire is more entertaining than TNA. Good Lord. Really? Do we want to go there? Do we want to go there? That's just wrong.
But it's true.
Probably my 2-year-old and Spug's daughter having a Oh What a Rush competition would probably be more entertaining. Hi, Jeremy Borash, if you're listening, I love you, JB. But Kevin, I mean, you popped when we talked about this with you. You popped like crazy when The Rock made his original return here.
Oh, of course.
But I mean, were you surprised that he got physical last night and then took the bumps that he did? Because I mean, when he got hit with that AA, the reaction that the crowd had and his face had was just like, did that really just happen?
That I thought that was perfectly well played by the WWE. I wasn't surprised at all that he got physical, because I actually do believe he is serious about maybe not being around all the time, but at least coming in and out and doing something occasionally. I really liked the whole segment, except for the fact that I felt The Miz looked rather weak. And granted, yes, that could be the whole, you know, throw you off what's going to happen to the outcome of their match. But it just seemed like that was a situation where The Miz had to look like a legitimate champion, and it's just not worked for me yet.
Is that
what
just creative?
What will work for you, Kevin? Are you not impressed? Really?
I'm the right age group where I grew up watching Real World. I remember Mike on the show.
So do
I. He's a legitimate fan. I totally love his personal story in terms of coming up, you know, getting into WWE, he's a hard worker. I would never say anything against him in that. He's improved leaps and bounds, and quite frankly, I'm very happy for him. I think it's amazing that an actual lifelong fan is now going to be, what I'm assuming, headlining WrestleMania with John Cena and The Rock. That's a great story. As far as the actual character, that's he's not a main event wrestler. That's not something he never will be. That's not something he doesn't have the talent to be. But right now, they are not presenting him as being on the same level. That they needed to push him really hard last night. They did a decent job up to a point where The Rock beat the hell out of him and out.
Yeah, he almost seems like they're turning him into a cowardly heel, a la a Jericho WCW or any other person. Spug and I have had this conversation on here as well, fans, that, you know, it's all the way creative wants him to do it. And as our colleagues in the last hour said, he's done a great job being the face of the company. He's done every talk show known to man. I keep waiting for him to show up. I would have loved to have seen him on Letterman with the press conference being New York. Don't understand why New York, but okay. You know, the events in Atlanta, guys. Let's go there instead. I'm sure they got a Hard Rock. But he's done great as far as the PR thing. And as the champ, as we've seen, when Cena had it, go back to Hogan having it, go back to Michaels, Bret Hart, Kevin Nash, as Diesel, that's the thing. You got to be good in the ring, but you got to be good in the PR department. And I don't know what the rest of you think, but I think Mike Mizanin as a whole has done really good.
He's done good, but I still don't see him as being the guy. He needs to be. I don't know if you can say booked or just presented as being the guy. And granted, being the face of the company in terms of, say, the PR appearances, he's hit the ball at the park. However, when I look at the actual show, I never get the feeling that he could actually, you know, walk out of WrestleMania with the belt.
He's going to.
Save your pick.
I've already given him.
Not you. I'm talking about him. Jamal's got to save his pick.
I shall save.
All right. We'll start where we started with the previous group. We'll go with Sarah and Ari. I made two columns, so in case Sarah and Ari disagree on something, one, somebody's butt is covered, and then you two can argue it out later on tonight or on Sunday. You can punch each other out going, see, I told you we should have went that way. We'll go to Sarah first. Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes, winner and why?
Okay, well, we did lose Ari for a second, but this is actually one we did talk about before and agree that Cody's going to win on. The way they've been building him, I think that they've created more interest around him than Rey Mysterio at the current moment. I think he needs the win more than Rey does. So I'm thinking we're going to look at a Cody Rhodes win on this one.
She said a boot.
Hey.
That's so cute. Do it again.
Boot.
What are you, Omega Jonesing when Trish Stratus says it?
She said a boot.
Yeah, but
I love stereotypical Canadians.
It's a boot and it's against and it's all those things. And Tim Stein doesn't do them. Tim Stein sounds like a Canadian from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm sorry. Okay, Jersey, are you? It's been more the majority. Spug and I are the only ones that chose Ray. Are you going with Cody as well, Jersey, or are you going with Ray?
I'm going with Ray. I don't think Cody's just ready to. I don't think he's ready for that type of match. They haven't really been pushing him. But then again, they haven't been pushing Ray either. So I don't know. I'm just going with Ray. I'm going on a long shot.
Yeah, this almost seems like, Kevin, the match that they said to SmackDown. Okay, you, no, not you, no, you. Or, fine, you two, get, go, have fun. It's nice to see Dusty Rhodes mixed in here, but do you think he helps Cody win this match?
I'm not sure if he'll play a role in it, but I do see Cody winning only because it's pretty much like a stepping stone match for him. This is WrestleMania, it's Rey Mysterio. He needs it to happen for him to go somewhere. And granted, this is like maybe a year or two ago, I definitely said Ray, but there's no reason why Cody shouldn't win.
Interesting. To the first of the multiple-person matches, and it would be The Core, taking on Cho, Kane, Santino, Kozlov, Tamina, around the ring or not, to Sarah. Give me a pick, and do you see everybody doing the Santino trumpet again at the end like we got to witness on Monday Night Raw?
Oh, I hope so. I had fun with that. I would like to see The Core win because I think they, have sort of the more serious wrestlers involved who are going to maybe be around for the long term. And I think they could, again, use that win. But for the, you know, sort of feel good factor, have fun with it factor, I'm giving this one, I think, to Cho, Kane, and Kozlov and Santino.
And do we want to put Ari over for the babies as well? Is he back?
He's not quite back yet. And that one, I don't actually know which one he'd pick, so I won't
save it. Did the kids make picks as well? We can put them in the betting pool too.
I was about to say, going by the reaction to you guys talking about Miz, I'm thinking they're Cena fans.
We're angering the Daigan children, lovely. We're going to have these kids showing up with hand gestures. You can see us now! Okay, Jersey, are we going with the heels or the faces and why?
I'm going with Santino just because I'm going to actually have a poster at WrestleMania that says The Core is the snore.
Ooh.
Because I am so bored with The Core. And plus, I actually liked seeing Kane doing that whole, like, little trumpet thing, because that was kind of funny.
We brought it up earlier, Kevin. Once again, Intercontinental Championship and the tag belts are kind of, you know, now available at WWE.com. Does this bother you, and who do you got?
As a fan, yes, it does bother me. These are supposed to be important titles, just prestigious. This is the biggest show of the year. They should be defended. At the same token, I don't really think it really matters that much anymore. They've kind of said they had to say about a lot of the different titles. I'm going to go with the core for the same reason why I picked Cody. I think they really need this window to elevate them even further. And Wade Barrett, I think, is a serious main event talent that they've come really close to pulling the trigger on them in terms of an actual solid run. I think now is a great time to start that up again.
All right, we move to the United States Championship, which is Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. To Sarah, I'm the lone holdout that's going with Daniel Bryan so far. Do you care to join me, or are you going with the rest of the Celtic Cross fans?
By the way, my partner in crime is back now, so we have to...
All right, he's back.
Do we want to tell them where I've been?
He's no, taking care of Cena Nation that's all of a sudden going, Dad, I have to go to the bathroom, and you're the only one that can help me.
I was changing a Michael Cole, shall we say.
Oh!
That's funny. But I think I'm going to go with Sheamus on that one just because of how they've been booking him, I guess. I would like to say Daniel Bryan. I'd like to see him with the U.S. belt, but I'm going Sheamus.
I can't disagree with what I see in front of me. I don't know. I mean, they've had Daniel Bryan lose him, what, twice in the last 3 weeks? I mean that's almost enough to make me think that they want to pull a presto change or let Daniel Bryan win, but no, they're driving hard for Sheamus. It's unfortunate that, like, talented smaller guys have to get crushed under that, but sort of what I see. Yeah.
And we also need your pick for the core versus Kozlov, Morella, Kane, and Show.
That one I've had less time to think about, but that one off the top of my head, I'll give it to the core. I think, the cohesive unit that, still has some story around it, over the, thrown together team that, they had to have somebody fight the core.
All right, Jersey. I'm the army of me right now. I'm the lone Daniel Bryan supporter. Are you going with Sheamus?
Actually, I am. I would love to go with Daniel Bryan, but I agree with what Sprug said earlier. They're just not pushing him the right way. I mean, some of the stuff he's done in Ring of Honor, it's just unbelievable. And they're bringing in people that are, like, awesome wrestlers and then just using them totally wrong. So as much as I love Daniel Bryan, I mean, I met the guy. He's awesome. He's a real cool guy. I'm glad to go with Sheamus.
All right, Kevin. I'm the lone Daniel Bryan fan. I'm gonna be the. Am I still alone?
As a guy who absolutely loved ROH a few years back, Bryan Danielson. I can't say that other name.
Yeah, no kidding.
One of my three favorite wrestlers in the past decade. That said, he's not winning.
Damn.
Let's be honest.
Thank God we're not playing for money here, because I'm really out on an island of myself. To the match that Phil Strom doesn't want to watch. Everybody went with the babies in the six-person Team Snooki, as it's been christened, match. Is it weird, Sarah and Ari, to watch someone compete in a show that your children are taller than? My 2-year-old's taller than. I kid you not. Spug and I are in total agreement. Our kids are taller than Nicole Pelosi.
I'm Snooki's height, too.
Really?
Yep, I'm not 5 feet.
Yeah, but would you look more intimidating than her? She just looks like a little Kiwi doll you want to pick up and cuddle, like the Bunny and the Hop commercial.
I don't know. You'll have to ask Ari. Ari, am I more intimidating than Snooki? Oh.
There's no right answer to this one.
Because you have to go to bed tonight next to her. Okay, are we going?
We know somebody's not telling Ari the safe word in the Daigan household tonight.
Whoa!
God.
Yes, this show also brought to you by Playboy.com. We're going to get Dr. Laura in here soon to help with divorce game. Okay, in all non-seriousness, give me a winner, first to Sarah, then Ari. Are we going with Team Snooky, as it's been nicknamed by our recent arrivals, or can Lake, who will actually win this?
I suspect we could do this in unison if we had to.
Team Snooky.
Yeah.
We'll join the chorus of the baby faces going over here.
I mean, if the celebrity's being billed as the baby face, they're winning. I mean, I don't think I've seen much variation on that. Correct me if I'm overlooking something.
Yeah, but Jersey, don't you just want to see the rest of those shore morons show up in this event and bitch slap her silly?
I would love to see the situation show up, honestly, but...
Which one's the DJ guy? Is it the situation, or is it the guy that
Rob, I don't know. Rob, could I actually...
DJ Paulie. I don't know how to
So the Paulie guy is the one that Rob Echoes is kind of playing in the other...
Hold on. Jamal...
Oh, don't go there. Yes,
fail
I know.
Me.
I know. I watch the damn show.
Oh, I'm almost about to fall on my chair. I'm sorry.
But it's actually pretty funny because I don't watch the Jersey Shore and I'm from Jersey and that's just kind of sad to me.
They're all not from Jersey. They're from
I know,
where...
but I can't watch any. I cannot watch any reality-based show based in Jersey. I can't watch Jersey Lizards. I can't watch Jersey Shore. I can't watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey because that's all fake to me. It's nothing that has to even do with our state. That's just my opinion of it all. But I'm not even going to call them the team that you guys deemed them as. I'm calling them Team Trish.
Okay, so you're going with Team Stratus. Do the Tough Enough kids jump in on this one, or do they jump in later with Michael Cole, in your opinion, Jersey?
Honestly, I don't see any of the Tough Enough kids getting involved, unless it's like that stupid Miss USA person just comes out and just decks somebody.
And I'm happy M-Dog 20's even there, and hopefully he wins it. So, to the shore resident, wait, come on, J-Wow supposedly from somewhere around our old stomping grounds in New York. That's why I'm like, it's not Jersey Shore, you morons. It's a bunch of people from Long Island and New York and Staten Island that are going over to there. So are we going with Snooki, Stratus, and Morrison, or are you going to be the one that goes, no, the heels must win?
I can't believe we're discussing Snooki and talking about WrestleMania at the same time. But yeah, I'm going to say Snooki.
Alright, we're making
it's
it a...
It's assholes like you that are making us talk about this.
I like orange white women.
Because you have to go and watch the Jersey Shore.
I can't help it. They're bored. It's great.
Alan.
Yes.
One of the things I wanted to say was they have in the package deal that I'm doing for WrestleMania... The Saturday Morning Madness thing, we get to meet John Morrison.
That's pretty cool.
So we're hoping that he actually brings Snooki with him or Trish with him so we can just, like, see how tall we are compared to her.
Yeah, they'll have a little thing. Like, you have it, you know, even you
yeah,
go
like
to...
Yeah, like, height-wise, like, you got to be this tall to meet Snooki. You know?
Well, with Fan Access, you have
to... tall to ride Snooki.
Well, you have that thing at Fan Access. You put your hand down, and you can put it in Andre the Giant's handprint. You can take your hand and try to palm Snooki and see if you can pick her up like a basketball.
And also, I want to know who's taller, Snooki or Rey Mysterio.
I don't know. We may find out. Someone in our chat room wants to know, is there going to be a pre-Mania show with us? That's a Sir Rockin' question.
Saturday night, 10 p.m.
No, he means the day. They mean the day of, if we're going to do something at 6 o'clock or something. I don't know if I can. It depends how my children feel about that. My two-year-old is sitting there watching. She watched like 2 minutes of Raw last night, and she's just like, I'm ready to go to bed. I was like, this isn't TNA, honey. You get to stay up for this show.
Tonio, I would not agree with you in the chat because that's a scary sight. I wouldn't invite her at all.
So, go in there, Tony. Sorry.
So I'm just wondering. We all know Stone Cold's a drinker, and we all know Snooki's a drinker.
Oh boy!
I'm wondering who could outdrink who.
Can we get JBL in there and make it a three-way?
Thanks for the visual.
And CM Punk. I can never confirm or deny the CM Punk story. Speaking of CM Punk, let's move to the match. That is CM Punk gone solo thanks to the rest of Nexus being moved back to FCW for repackaging mode. Taking on Mr. Randall Orton and the non-wife, but a really snazzy bus. Would you guys drive around on one of those, if Sarah and Ari, if you could tour, or if WWE was like, yes, we can, we'll hire you, but we want the bus.
especially since it would probably make traveling with the kids a little bit easier. Yeah, we'd totally take the bus.
As soon as In This Very Ring goes commercial, first investment is a bus. I think that's wise.
We're all road tripping. Only Spug so far has chosen Mr. Phil Brooks, known as CM Punk. Are you going to be on the Randy Orton bandwagon?
I'm actually choosing Punk. I think that I will join with that one. I think that, you know, he looked weak for a few weeks. They made him look a bit stronger this week. I think the injury angle is a way to have Orton lose without hurting him too badly. And I think... they've built up Punk so well. He is doing such a great job. I think he could use the push past Mania. Again, it's another situation. I think he needs the win more than Randy Orton does. Randy Orton's a pretty big name who will do okay regardless. So, yeah.
This one, honestly, I think that they built it up well because I can't tell. For sake of picking somebody, I'll be, well, like everyone else, different from Sarah here and go with Randy Orton, given I think they've got some heels elsewhere on the card who are going to go over, have the face win this one, but I don't say it with a whole lot of conviction. I can really see it going either way.
Okay, Jersey.
Orton.
You're going with Mr. RKO.
Yeah, I mean, just because it seems that they're... They made that whole injury thing, and it's like, okay, I'm going to take you out because you took out my group, so I'm going to take you out. And if that woman was smart enough, she would have just punted CM Punk with a door, bus door.
Yeah, I would have liked to, have seen her take him out with the door, but she was too busy playing the scared victim.
But, I mean, it was kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of lame because it's like, okay, Orton's injured, okay, you know, it just seems... too much of like, okay, the last 2 weeks they pushed Punk into the scene, like Orton her, and now, you know, Orton doesn't have a chance in it.
Yeah, and to Kevin, I know Spug. Spug, I gotta bring it up. To Kevin, once again, promo work between Punk and Orton, good. Mic work between everyone in TNA, bad. Ooh. Can we send this a tape of this to Terry Taylor and Triple J and go, see these guys? This is how you do it.
That's not going to help.
I wish it would. And once again, if you can find Desmond Wolfe, there's friends and family looking for him. We know he's been reincarnated into an action figure. I need the boogeyman. And whatever the heck, what was Charles Wright back in the day? Papa Shango. I need Papa Shango to show up, put a curse on that Desmond Wolfe doll. The real Desmond Wolfe will show up and save us all. He may even run in during this match. I wish he would. But, hey, give me a winner, Punk or Orton.
I think it should be Punk, so I expect it in an RKO.
Say that one more time. You going with Punk?
I'm going to go with Orton. I don't see Punk actually on the wave, though. I think he should.
Oh, Rock, that's a bad one. Sir Rock and our executive producer says Papa Shango is in TNA. Her name is Winter. Yes, we're dropping bombs. To quote Steve Buscemi from The Big Lebowski, we're throwing rocks tonight. Now to the fun that is. Let's save some time. Anybody going with Michael Cole?
Fuck no.
Nope.
So everybody's going with Jerry Lawler. Okay, we'll save us. Wait, what?
I don't get to talk about the Orton Punk match. Fine.
You already did.
What if I wanted to talk about it with Jamal?
I'm talking with Stevie Ray over there. I don't care.
What if Jamal and I had differing opinions and we could have some sort of comical yet serious debate about the topic? Huh? Okay. What about that, Mr. Radio Show Host Guy?
Okay. Bug, I gotta go in 10 minutes.
Yeah, we gotta let, Jersey's got a job she's gotta get ready for, and then to pack, and then she's going to Mania, brother.
And the fact that I might not even make it that night because it was supposed to get stinking snow on Friday.
Oh, don't say that.
I know, I'm pissed.
You want me to mention that it's 73?
I'll talk about it with Jamal later.
There you go.
It'll be the podcast Nicole Cabana does. Okay, let's move. We did it this way before, so we'll go this way again. We'll start with the world heavyweight title. Rey Mysterio's not holding it, so we get to call it heavyweight here. That would be Alberto Del Rio taking on the Edge. And as I said, go to YouTube and type in Axel Mulligan, and you'll actually get to see Ricardo Rodriguez wrestle, because in FCW events, he comes to the ring with Brodus Clay, which I thought was pretty wild. To Sarah and Ari, do we see a new champ, or does the belt stay in the hands of the Rated R Superstar?
I think we see a new champ. I think, has Alberto Del Rio taken a backward step yet? I think Vince, for reasons I still don't totally get, I'll be honest, is really, really sweet on this guy. I think he's going very quickly, to winning the title at Mania.
And I'll second this one, especially if this isn't the last match of the night. Again, if we've, sort of widely talked about Triple H and Undertaker closing the show,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to have any problem. Usually they have a problem putting a belt on the heel at WrestleMania. I don't think they will here. I think Alberto Del Rio leaves with the title. And you guys were talking earlier. I do agree with the sentiment that Christian will get involved somehow, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him screw Edge out of the belt. So that's sort of where I'm thinking, too.
Wait, you two picking the former Canadian resident, are both of you moving out of the province soon to protect your asses from this?
We're just talking about what we think will happen.
I was about to say, I mean, go Edge.
Yeah.
but no, I'm thinking the way it's been booked, it's going to be Del Rio.
Wait. Did you just say Vince is sweet on him? Is he buying him cupcakes?
He's buying him Bentleys.
And every other car that the guy's coming out in. And magically, everyone that works for the commentating crew is, I feel like I'm, are they all sitting there with Car and Driver magazine going, this is the one he needs to come out in this week, boys. Get me that car. It's almost like it's 3 a.m. I want a camel. Bring me a camel. No, we can't have that. Fine. Give me the Bentley. I'll deal with it.
Cole is so bored in that little mine shaft that he's got. He's looking up close.
Yeah, pretty much. So far, Spug is the only person that's got Edge winning here, Jersey. Do you go with Del Rio, or are you going with Edge?
I am going with Edge, actually.
Right.
I think Del Rio, they're pushing him way too hard and way too fast. I don't think he's ready for the title. But yeah, I see Edge winning, but I see, as you said, or someone else said, that he's going to win by DQ.
That was me.
Yeah, I see him winning by DQ. I see Christian trying to cost him the belt, and then they're making a three-way at the next pay-per-view.
Okay, Kevin, here's your chance to argue with Spug if you'd like to.
Actually, I think Christian will probably screw Edge, and then Michael Cole will come on faggot.
Don has sensitivity training.
And every GLAAD representative will run to the ring and beat them senseless.
No.
That angle to play out.
Gay.
I really think Del Rio probably win.
The gay Avenger from
yes.
G.
Yes.
Was it Tony O that brought that up in the room before?
No, I did.
You brought it up. Okay.
I brought it up because I thought it was funny as hell.
Some names that we're not going to mention for start. We're not going there. We're not going there. Okay. Spug is the lone holdout here. He is sticking with his man crush. He is sticking with Mr. Levesque, star of The Chaperone, now available at WWE.com and Walmart stores nationwide.
I do have that movie. It's a good movie.
Wow.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's decent. It's pretty decent.
You and Mace agreed on that. I was very surprised that both of you and Mace agreed on the movie.
It's not bad. I mean, it's not great.
It's not like funny, but it's like, oh my gosh, type of thing. Like, what are they doing?
Kid funny. I mean, it's
yeah.
Not bad.
Okay, Sarah, does the streak move on to Miami, or does the son-in-law end it, Kevin Nash ending Goldberg's streak?
Like I sort of slipped and said in the chat earlier, if this had been 5 years ago, I would say Triple H is the guy to bring him down. But since it's not, the streak has had that many more years to grow, Triple H has stepped that much further out of the spotlight, I'm thinking Undertaker goes on.
I don't think there's a whole lot of question there. I honestly don't see at this point who, I mean, if it wasn't Shawn Michaels, I mean, who are they going to give it to? Cena? Please not Cena. I don't think we're going to see the end of the streak. I think it goes to, you know, 20-0, 21-0 if he keeps, you know, surviving
say,
that long.
I said to say, I think Ari and I have thought since last year he's going to retire with the streak intact, so.
Perhaps at the big round number of 20-0. Or at
does he, he could make it to Mania 30 if it is in New York. Pretty please make a New York road trip, everybody.
We're there.
Yeah. All right. Jersey, we going with the man crush, or is the streak moving to Miami?
All honestly, I have no freaking clue. Because I was watching the promo last night, and I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, there is a chance that Triple H could take it. And then there was a chance that Taker can lead on and be like I said, 20 or nothing, you know, 20-0 or whatever it is. But this is the same thing that happened last year. I mean, there were points of like, okay, yeah, Taker's gonna win it. But then HBK was fighting Taker, and I'm thinking in the middle of the match, I'm like, oh crap, maybe you won't, you know?
Do you want a time limit draw? Do you want to put time limit draw or something?
I don't. If everyone's going with Taker, I'm probably going to say Taker too, but then there's a little part of the back of my head is thinking Triple H may actually end up taking it. Who knows, you know?
Okay, Kevin. The pressure of the world is on you here. Millions nationwide, including folks in Stanford, are listening. Possibly the booking committee. Does the son-in-law, does the son-in-law end this? Or as we agreed in the last hour, do we have Taker winning and doing there can be only one and lightning and bolts and everything show up and then he disappears in an instant poofiness?
I don't see anything short of 20-0. I can't see it happening whatsoever. Maybe if Triple H is back for a little bit longer, maybe if this was a couple of years ago, I just can't imagine Taker going down.
Yeah, some folks in our chat room are agreeing. One of them actually says, Triple H, one road, one goal, ending the Taker streak. And I was like, that's a great idea for a T-shirt. Sign it up. Buy it now, WWE.com, where you can buy everything. Which brings us to the main event of the, well, we're all in agreement probably that Taker Triple H is your actual closer. But your Raw main event is the champion. That's right, kids. He's the champ. Look at the belt. Made it into an M. Real stylish. I thought he was going to bedazzle it, but he didn't get that far.
It's already bedazzled.
No, I mean even worse. I mean just having like gaudy looking Liberace like sparkles and stuff on it.
John Cena became champion and immediately handed that belt off to a 2-year-old with epilepsy, and they bedazzled it.
Okay, so I'm the only, and I can't stand him, but I'm the only one so far that's picking Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch to walk out of here, and maybe have Mark Wahlberg himself walk out and celebrate. Okay, Sarah, who do you got?
I'm joining you, Alan, actually. I think The Miz has done a great job as champion. I wouldn't mind seeing him keep on, but I'm, especially since we just picked Alberto Del Rio, I don't see them having both heels walk out with the belts, so I'm sort of picking John Cena by default.
A few years back we were saying, you know, when it was very, even more so, the Super Cena phenomenon, we were saying, you know, pick Cena, you'll only be wrong once. More doubt now than then, but I'm still picking Cena, especially since, yeah, I don't see them having Del Rio lose, and I don't see them giving both titles to heels at WrestleMania. And just, you know, wins at Mania.
Okay, Jersey, what do you got?
Well, I disagree. I think The Miz, and just for the same reason why they picked it. Just I think Edge is going to keep his belt, and they're going to keep a heel as the title person. So I think The Miz is going to win it. And plus, I think The Rock is going to get involved somehow after that whole little, whatever it's called, the FU or Five Knuckle Shuffle, what the hell he calls it now.
Fireman's Carry Slam.
I don't even know what he calls it now.
I think it's the AA, and we're not talking about the meeting that you go to on the weekends.
Wow.
Yeah, we're all being politically incorrect. I'm all for it. Why not?
But with that said, Alan, I gotta go because I got work tomorrow. So
all right, enjoy your trip to Mania, and shirts are extra large for Mania, and size 4 for in toddler. I'm sure the 2-year-old will love a shirt.
Well, I'm not sure how much money I will have. And seeing as Alan never sends me DVDs, I don't trust the guy.
Don't give me the whole thing about DVDs. I have a couple nice DVDs from the folks at Kayfabe Commentaries that we can forward along to you. Just email me your address, and I will get something into the mail next week for you.
Okay. Well, right. I'll talk to you soon.
I'm a size extra large.
Safe trip.
I can't buy shirts for everybody. I got like 5 shirts I'm buying.
Screw them. We're your real friends.
If you mail it to me with a receipt, you will get cash. Just saying.
Ooh.
I'll see what I can do. I'll get in touch with people and try to get orders.
Alrighty. Take care, sweetie. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Bye, guys. What's that, Sarah?
Have fun at Mania.
I will. I always have fun at Mania.
We'll be looking for you in the crowd.
Okay.
She'll be the one person with the big sign. Hi, OWW Radio.
Oh, no, actually, look for the sign. The core is the snore, because that's what I'm going to have.
You got it.
All right, guys. See ya.
All right, Kevin. It's been a rough evening. We've got a couple Cena people. We've got some Miz people. Do you see, one of our chat room folks did bring this up, and I was saving it for this round. One of them brought up WrestleMania 9.
Yes, they did.
Do you see that kind of an ending happening here, especially after the face-painted guy won it on 3-3-11? Would that be the ultimate holy crap moment? Is Dwayne Johnson The Rock becoming the people's champ again? Or is it a safer bet that Cena or Miz is walking out with the strap?
Well, as I said earlier, I don't see Miz walking out, and I don't think they're going to put it on Cena. I'm not going to be that guy who's saying that The Rock's going to leave with the belt. I wouldn't be completely surprised if they did something like that, but I could definitely see being some kind of a screw job finish where maybe there is no chance that the title's held up or something like that. Because obviously you have Taker, Triple H as the main event, so you can do something like that for that match.
And so we'll list you as no contest, if that's a safe bet for you.
Yes.
Okay. We'll allow that one, only because we like you, and if I don't, Spug may threaten to beat me up.
Threaten to beat up Jamal.
Hey.
All right, so there you have it. We're going to thank everybody. I've got a couple things I got to pimp, but we're going to Kevin, thanks for coming on. We'll try to have you actually
can stick around.
Oh, he can stay. Fine, he can stay. I know Sarah and Ari got to get back to the children. Their blog is their podcast is called In This Very Ring. You can find it online. You can find Sarah through Facebook.
Mhm.
And thanks to both of you for being here with us, and we'll hopefully talk to you again soon.
Yep, thanks for having us, guys. Have a great night.
We be will. All right. This came across from our friends at WSU, and because we like them, we're going to pub them. This weekend, as a part of your WrestleMania weekend, if you live in Kearney, New Jersey, you can see both a WSU and NWS team up for 2 shows in 1 day. At 2:35 bell time, you will see the 2011... version of the Women's J Cup, and then if you stick around at 7:35, you'll get to see the 6th annual King and Queen of the Ring tournament. The address is 663 Kearney Avenue. This is at the Presbyterian Boys and Girls Club. In the tournament, this is to name the new number one contender to the WSU Championship, and they will main event the Uncensored Rumble, which is June 25th. The brackets are Brittany Savage versus Cindy Rogers, Sassy Stephanie versus Jennifer Cruz, Marty Bell versus Jenna, and Tina San Antonio versus Jamila Croft. That's not all.
Hold on.
What?
Is there a picture of that Sassy Steph chick?
Go to WSUWrestling.com. I'm sure you can find one.
Because if that's who I think that is, I know her.
Ooh, definitely check it out then. WSUWrestling.com. That is not all. The WSU World Champion and two-time guest of this show and a favorite of ours, Mercedes Martinez, who, yes, is entering year three as the world champion, will be making a title defense. She will take on former interview subject of mine, and that would be Ariel. Unfortunately, Jessica Havoc versus Alicia, which was supposed to take place at the King and Queen event, will not take place that day due to scheduling issues. That actually will, I believe, is going to take place... If I read this right, that's going to take place some point either over the weekend. Later on in the night, of course, is the King and Queen of the Ring tournament. It is a mixed tag event. So if you're sitting there going, King and Queen? No, not that kind of King and Queen. Rick Taldo's nowhere allowed in this thing. Here's the new brackets. Frightmare and Jamila Croft will take on Sassy Stephanie and J.D. Smoothie. Former WWE star Kenny Dykstra will join Cindy Rogers to take on Spiral and Ariel. Jennifer Cruz and Nikki Oceans will take on former TNA star Julio De Niro and Jana. And Mercedes Martinez and Bison Bravado will take on Corey Havoc and the debuting Nikki Styx.
Nikki Styx? Oh my god.
That's the name they're using. Also, Rick Taldo will be there. Rick Taldo will be taking on the former leader of the Cosmo Club, and that is Brittany Savage. She denounced the Cosmo Club and said it was no more, and then laid Rick out with a diamond cutter at one of their most recent events. The Bell Saints, Tina San Antonio and Marty Bell, who are the WSU Tag Team Champions, will be defending against Monique, and, well, she's not really saying who her partner is, so... Who knows who it's going to be? Now, that's not all, because the next day, on Sunday, April 3rd, is an event being called Indie Mania. WSU and the New York Wrestling Connection, which is a great promotion, which runs all over Long Island, are hosting an event that the admission is going to be $25. Now, here's what's so cool about this. The show starts at 3 o'clock. You are watching this entire show, and you're watching WrestleMania 27 on their big screen. So all the stars from the American Championship Entertainment, which is the co-promotion of joining this event. Also the WSU stars, the NYC, WC will be there. You get to stick around. The A's Tag Team Champions, DRS, will take on RD8X. I'm just reading what's put in front of me, so I apologize. DRS is known as Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, so that's who they are. Spiral will take on Rob Vegas. Mercedes Martinez and Alicia will tag to take on Jessica Havoc and Brittany Savage. Sassy Stephanie will defend her Spirit Championship against Jana. From the NYWC, you will get Tony Nese versus Alex Reynolds. So for that one, you can go to, as I said, WSUWrestling.com is the home site. DOIWrestling.com is another great place to go. Check that out. You can buy DVDs from there. You can get stuff from their most recent events. And I want to ask Spug this before we wrap. I know we're past midnight, and I apologize to the fans for that. We usually are done at that point. I believe it's this coming week or in the next week that we get the next season of The Ultimate Fighter. And I bring it up because after this last spring training game that the New York Yankees had today on ESPN, they did a mini sports center before they went to NFL Live. And lo and behold, who shows up but Brock Lesnar? He did a few minutes of one-on-one with the commentator. You do know Sassy Stephanie.
She started as a ring announcer.
Wow.
When I used to work for a promotion called FSW down in Worcester, Ohio, and she started as a ring announcer. And started training and worked up from there.
Yeah. What are you thinking when you see Lesnar as a coach on this season of Ultimate Fighter? Do I have more rights to be there as a coach than he does?
No.
Okay, but I mean, what does he bring? Because he bring a lot that you would see the other coaches, honestly.
Is Kevin still with us? Or did Jamal
have him? Yeah.
He's here.
You watch UFC?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is Brock Lesnar not one of the most dominant heavyweights we've seen in a very long time?
By far. Now, can he teach any of that? No.
I don't know.
He can't coach his size.
All right.
That's why he's dominant.
He's dominant because of his size and strength, but the dude has an uncanny ability that I've seen him pull off submission holds that guys like George Rush St. Pierre can't pull off. And they're not nearly as big as Brock Lesnar.
Correct.
Can he translate that well to coaching? I don't know. But it'll be interesting.
Oh, it'll be fun to watch. I think that's like the whole point of actually involvement in the show, just to see what he can and can't do.
Yeah, Tony O is saying that it's tomorrow night Spike.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch. What I'm more interested to see is at the end of that is supposed to be the fight between Junior Dos Santos and Brock Lesnar for the interim heavyweight title, I believe.
Correct, yeah.
So I'm really interested to see that fight because I think Dos Santos is going to whoop his ass.
After Lesnar's last outing, I would say the same thing.
I mean, I like Lesnar, and I was kind of pulling for him to beat Cain Velasquez. And if it's anything I've learned about Lesnar, is that you do not give him second opportunities to fight the same guy. And I think if he fights Cain Velasquez again, it's a totally different fight.
I completely agree in terms of it won't be the same kind of one-sidedness, but I don't know if he can actually beat him or not.
I think he beats him because you look at the Mir fight. He made a couple of stupid decisions. He made a couple of stupid decisions, and then the next time he fought Mir, he didn't make those stupid decisions, and he just pounded him.
I completely agree with that.
So, I mean, I think that if he can make it past Dos Santos, which I'm not entirely sure he can, but if he does, and gets to take on Cain Velasquez again for the unified heavyweight title, that's an entirely different fight than what we saw last September.
You said Velasquez is injured, right?
Yeah, Velasquez was. I believe he was training for Dos Santos and tore his rotator cuff.
Ouch. Yeah, that's got to be a painful thing to go through. We've had a great few weeks here, and it is amazing. As I said, go to our archive at owwradio.com. You can get every single WrestleMania Memories interview we have done here. Someone in our chat room asked, how do you do it? Ancient Chinese secret.
iTunes.
I'm not going to reveal how. Yes, sir.
iTunes. Go to iTunes. Get the show. OWW Radio.
No. How do we get the interviews? That's it.
Yeah, go to iTunes. Get them. Download them.
Yeah. You can also go to Click Wrestle, which is the official on-demand site of here. I'm not telling you how I do it. You kidding me? I'm not going to give morons and 24/7 party people the way I get people.
Someone caught up on Wednesday asking us how we got the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, which you can hear on WildTalkRadio.com. Streaming now.
Did you listen to the podcast, by the way, Alan?
I have yet to do it. I have been told it is a phenomenal interview.
It is a great interview, but I'm just going to repeat
repeat what I said at the end of that interview when Shawn Michaels went off the air for the benefit of all of your OWW audience?
Sure.
We got 22 and a half minutes out of Shawn Michaels when we were only supposed to get 15. You couldn't get 15 out of Bagwell. Suck it, Wojcik.
I got no problem with that. I had no control over that situation. As I said, Jim Barcelone saved the day.
He did save the day.
He got the super duper gold star of the day for coming in and helping us out there. So
he did save the day. I did appreciate that. But I tell you, I'm glad Jamal showed up tonight.
What, thank you?
Hey, I knew he was coming.
Dude, I love talking to you because you're funny and you're interesting and you actually make valid points.
And we're road tripping. We're gonna try to book a road trip to have where you're doing comedy somewhere. We're all gonna be sitting in the front row. We're gonna have signs like Jamal rules, and people will be like, "Who?" And I'm like, "Roll with it, dude. It works for us."
That'd be nice to see.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna have a sign that says, "Don't burn the cat."
Yeah.
Oh, God.
This is the part where we pimp stuff. As mentioned, OTL last week had the Star of Stars, and that would be the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, which makes it fun because you never know who the hell's going to be on their show. Are you and Omega getting along again?
Oh, yeah. We're fine. We're like brothers that fight, dude. We just...
Uh-huh.
I will say this, though, because we like to pimp stuff at this moment in the show. So I'm going to say this. I know there are a lot of people who listen to this podcast who are influential and higher up. If you happen to know somebody who is good at making quality wrestling gear at an affordable price, spug@wildtalkradio.com. spug@wildtalkradio.com. Send me their info because I need new gear made post haste.
And didn't hold up.
Huh?
The new stuff didn't hold up.
No, they won't. They like the gimmick I did, but they like the other one that I had better. So they want me to do that gimmick. Well, I have no more. I have no gear for it anymore. And so I need new gear. And so I'm trying to, the seamstress lady down the street who made my mask, I'm not trusting to make my singlet. So I need new gear, and all of the websites and everything that I've been to, yeah, I know it's going to take a while. I have no issue with that, but I am honestly not fucking paying what they want for gear. So if anybody who listens to this show, and I know there are a lot of them, who are in the wrestling, in the business, who know somebody who is good, reliable, and affordable, please forward their info to me at spug@wildtalkradio.com, and I promise you, I will not reveal your name if you send it to me on, there will be anonymity.
There you go. This Saturday night, before you get to listen to CB Radio, the Wild Talk Radio will present Wrestle Talk Radio's WrestleMania preview, and that is at 10 o'clock, Sir Rockin', 10 o'clock Eastern?
Yes, yep. That'll be at 10 p.m. Eastern. If you are going to WrestleMania, if you're watching WrestleMania, if you're going to be at the Fan Access, the Hall of Fame, or whatever, please feel free. Call us anytime, 267-297-1397. Leave us a voicemail. What's going on? We'll play your voicemails live on the air. We want to hear from you, the fans of WrestleMania, fans of WWE. Call us. Support us. Call us and tell us everything that's going on. We want to know. So call in 10 p.m. Eastern or anytime. Voicemail is always open.
Yes, and don't forget, midnight-ish Eastern.
We'll be doing CB Radio, yeah. We'll be having Rob Parks, who was at the Hall of Fame. Probably Jersey Girl will call in. We will be talking WrestleMania. We will be talking everything weird, wacky, anything we can think of.
And Spug might be drunk.
And Spug might be drunk. It's his birthday. All
right.
It is my birthday on Saturday. So.
And we're wishing you a happy one right now, since we may not be around for it. Yes, this past weekend got to celebrate my wife's 20—sorry, I'm not allowed to say her actual age on the air if I want
She's
to make it.
She's a baby. I'm older than your wife.
My wife just turned 29, thank you.
Well, I turned 29 Saturday, so she's
there
older
you
than
go.
Me by a week.
Yes, she's in the other room watching her birthday present, which was season one of The Walking Dead.
I never liked that show. I didn't get into it.
Yep, neither did I, and that's why I told her, I said, I got it on DVD, so you can take it to school with you, you can take it wherever you want, enjoy it. If you can serve, what? Sir.
I, never mind. We can talk to Kevin about it off the air, because I had something I wanted to bring up about the Punk Orton match.
We'll save it for after the air.
Yeah. If you can somehow make it through 4 hours of WrestleMania, 11 o'clock Eastern, Spug,
Omega.
Ciroc and Omega, Tim Stein, Will, me, if I can make it through 4 hours of all this craziness. We may have a May sighting, we may not, depending if he wants to type in, call in from his lunch break at his new job.
If he quits or not.
Oh, that's getting bad, dude.
That much fun. So he may be making an appearance next week for all we know.
Oh, just pay attention to Facebook. It's getting interesting.
Yeah,
it's can't miss TV.
Yeah, if you're friends with Mason, you know how to find him. We won't. We are, as our intro says, the names are changed to protect the innocent, so we will never give Mason's real name on our show.
Right.
11 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully the show won't be as long. The post show won't be as long as the pay-per-view.
It might just be, but we'll be wrapping up AudioWrestling.com's all-day WrestleMania coverage. We will be closing it out at 11 p.m. Eastern right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Tune in.
Yeah. Next week.
Awesome.
Yeah. Next week's show here on Online World of Wrestling Radio will most likely be WrestleMania recap. If Spug allows it, we will mention the letters TNA, TNA, and A. That's your show that you don't want to talk about it. We're going to talk about it next week here because
I'm actually going
to
the April 8th show in Cleveland.
Yeah, if you thought this past week's TNA was a car wreck, wait till you see this coming week's Thursday show. Yes, I know my show's listened to in the offices in Nash, Vegas, and I have no problems with it. Thanks to Sid Vicious for being the man to end WrestleMania Memories. Thanks to everyone that was a part of WrestleMania Memories. Thank you to Spug, Philstrom, Graham Coffin, Scott Fishman, The Digans, Kevin Scott, Spug, Ciroc, and I'm Alan Wojcik, Online World of Wrestling Radio. I may not be on 24/7, but I'm better than you bitches.